B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
There's still hope. There is, as remote the possibility, there is still hope that KD becomes a Sixer. I know everyone's like, it's not going to happen. And it probably won't. But there's still a chance. There's still a chance. Now, all morning, all night, the phone buzzing, talking to all my old cohorts, trying to figure out what's the possibility. What is it? Because then, let's recap yesterday for a second. I mean, good morning to everybody. Happy Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. It is a great holiday Friday as we get ready for the 4th. On Monday, amid this insanity in the NBA, it's just wild, absolutely wild. What a day yesterday. As we got off the air and the rumors start to circulate, because KD, I was listening to Tyrone, and all of a sudden it pops. KD seeks a trade. Oh, my. Wow, what a bombshell. So, of course, you have that. And right away, it's Phoenix is the first team. All right, so he's linked to the Suns. Now, let's explore the Suns for a second. So, the Suns, obviously, they do not want to give up Devin Booker. So, Devin Booker signs a big deal, the whole thing. So, the Suns package includes the... our old friend, cousin, we'll call him cousin because of Devon, Mikal Bridges, who should have been a Sixer. It'll include Cam Johnson. So you get the two wing players and the sign and trade with DeAndre Ayton. So which is pretty good, right? I mean, that's a pretty good offer. So that apparently is the number one offer. Now, you got the Heat lurking, but the Heat also have made inquiries about Donovan Mitchell. And then, so they got their eyes on Donovan Mitchell, though, you know, if KD was available, then of course they would try to get KD. What can they offer? And then it comes out that the Eel, Daryl Morey, will do anything he can to land Durant. Anything to land KD. And they jump into the fray. And in fact, one of the sports books listed the Sixers as the second favorite behind Phoenix to land KD. And of course, we know what that offer would be. Thibault, Tobias, and Tyrese. And I love Tyrese. Love, you know that. You know, I've been very protective of Tyrese Maxey, and I love him to death. But come on, we're talking about KD, right? So, you know, that, I mean, in fairness, that is the ultimate, you know, you want to talk about the ultimate compliment for Tyrese is that he would get mentioned in a trade as the principal piece of a trade to land Kevin Durant, right? Who is, you know, I don't know, take your pick, top, you know, four players still, right? I mean, obviously, it's... in any particular order, Giannis, Joel, Jokic, KD. And in many ways, he's probably more dangerous than the bigs because he's just unstoppable, right? So you have that situation. And then last night, the Lakers rumor comes out that they would be after both Kyrie and KD, which would be unbelievable. And that would suck, right? But that the Lakers would be in to try to land both. Now, if the Lakers land both Kyrie and KD to play with LeBron, the whole league screwed up, right? The whole thing's a mess. Then it's just a fake league if the Lakers somehow land both of them to go with LeBron. Now, I don't put it out of the equation. You go, well, you know, we'll give you Anthony Davis and Westbrook to make the money work, and we'll go all this other stuff. Now, remember, all these trade scenarios will include a bunch of picks. That'll be absolutely worthless, but, you know, whatever. There'll be a bunch of picks unless one of these teams is so bad. But let's come back to what the Sixers did. And I got to tell you, I love the Daniel House thing. I love what he's done. I'm talking about Daryl Morey. I love what he's done so far. So you add Melton, who is a legit, you know, defender, can shoot the ball. He's only 24. He guards 1, 2, 3, right? So you got more athletic. You got more of a defensive specialist, right? Right, like you got, it's impressive, right? Impressive. And I like that he's an ascending player. I thought it was a really good move. You get Tucker, a guy with dog, right? Like true dog. You got two guys right there that are tenacious. I don't care about Tucker's age. He's fine. And then you get House, right? You get the House. And the House can shoot it. House is another one that can bomb away. So while it's certainly the Houston Sixers or the Philadelphia Rockets, depending on how you slice it, it's that with right now, with forget AKD, with Embiid and Maxey, and even Tobias is valuable in that sense too. I mean, like that team now, I think is really good. I think it's a good team. I love those three pieces. Those three pieces, I think, are quality pieces. Now, forget about it. You get Kevin Durant, it's a wrap, man. Like, you know, we're talking, you know, barring injury, it's Moses all over again. 1983 is what it is. What happened when they get Moses is you knew that's all they needed. Like, they needed that piece, that centerpiece, because back then, the center was such an important player, right? He was what the wing is today in the NBA. And so you get Moses, and we knew. You knew from the minute they got Moses, they were going to win it. It was just, they were a train, man. They were a locomotive. And they were great. And they win it. Now, I think they should have won more than one, but that doesn't matter. Right now, they have missed a wing. They haven't had a wing since Barkley left. And he was really like a four, back old school four in that sense. That's how long they haven't had a wing. I mean, you want to call Iguodala, who, listen, Iguodala was a really good ball player, a great defender. He became a better offensive player. He should have been an even better offensive player and attacked the rim and went to the line. But the point of the whole conversation is they haven't had a wing. Jimmy was a wing for you, right? And he was the last wing, and it was short-lived wing. But they need wings, and I don't know. You get Kevin Durant, it's over. I mean, it's just a wrap. I mean, you put him with Harden and Embiid, I mean, let's go. Take on all comers. Who you got? I mean, it's just a thrilling kind of way to do it. I got to tell you, it's just, oh my God. It's the NBA is such an incredibly entertaining product. I don't care what you say. How nuts. And this is what's crazy. Like, first of all, the money's insane. It's this whole show. It's this whole reality show. And only in the NBA do you have all of a sudden, KD, I want to be traded. Everybody thought, including myself, that when Kyrie opts back in, that, all right, well, they're going to go back at it, right? No. He hits you with a left hook. No, I'm out. And then the other piece of the story that we haven't even discussed, which is absolutely comical and completely all about karma, is Ben Simmons. So they acquire Ben Simmons. He doesn't play. They're out. And then now they're really out. Harden's already left. He got out of Dodge early. Simmons goes there. Kyrie now wants out again after KD wants out. And there you go, Ben. You got your own team. You can win 8 games. Enjoy yourself, buddy. Have a good time, Ben Simmons. You want to talk about just the flaming dose of karma, of stinky karma. That he gets it right in the ear with that piece. Oh, my God. But what an incredible. So we'll keep you this. What an incredible product this NBA, the NBA is. It's just ridiculous, man. It's completely ridiculous. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? It's just incredible. And all I keep thinking about is, can they land KD? I'm like, I went to bed. You know, we do our morning thoughts because I always think the first thing you think about, the first thing that's on your mind is the truest thing, right? I got to tell you, I go to bed thinking about Kevin Durant. I wake up thinking about Kevin Durant. I mean, you want to talk about, we in a weird way, we are owed Kevin Durant. After what we have endured through the process years, there is not another fan base that is owed KD like us. Up, down, 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 up. Go through it. And now to be able, now again, I know it's a long shot, and I probably shouldn't get my hopes up, and I probably shouldn't get your hopes up, but, I mean, come on. Sometimes it's good to dream going into a holiday weekend. And remember, he has ties here. Right? It's not a complete pipe dream, is what I'm saying. He's got ties. We know he's a part owner of the union, right? We know that he is an investment partner with Michael Rubin, who, you know, used to be part owner of the Sixers, had to step away for his Fanatics business and the casino that he's doing. Right, they're close. I mean, he has business interests in New York. The D.C. area he knows well. You know, I mean, this Eastern Seaboard is him, right? It's him. So, I mean, all due respect to Phoenix, it's 1,000 degrees. It's like, you know, the sixth ring of hell in Phoenix. I mean, how about you come here? You play with your guy you love in Embiid. Now, I don't know the Harden thing, you know. During the All-Star game, remember, he didn't want anything to do with Harden. Right, so there's something there, but I don't know, maybe, you know, who knows with these dudes? I don't think they hated one another. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I don't think they hated one another. I do know this: he loves Joel. He has always been ultra, just complimentary. Always been. He's the one. KD said that Joel should have been the MVP. He loves the beast. I mean, can you imagine pairing those dudes together? Oh, my God. Zuli!
What's up, Ant?
What's going on, Bot?
I got three words for you, based on what you started today with.
Thanks, Ant.
You know what I mean? Listen, you know.
Yes.
You know I'm not the karmic guy. I'm not the cosmic guy. But, in this scenario, I think I got to agree with you. We are so starved for a championship. It's been almost 40 years. It'll be 40 years next year. We're so starved for a championship. Oh, my goodness. How sweet would it be?
Just imagine the level of basketball to watch. Like, you know what would geek me out? I mean, obviously, the championship is the best thing, right? But would completely, and this is the end of the Geek Week, although we may continue some of it, because I enjoy it immensely. But as we geek out, geeking out on the games, right? And you want to talk about must-see TV every night. Every night watching Harden, Durant, and the Embiid play together. Dude, that's admission. Like, that. Give me a Tuesday night in January against the Timberwolves. I'm in, right? Like,
You're into every second of every game.
Right, like, it's the playoffs I'm in. Dude.
I just, you know how you were excited? You're like revved up for football the other day?
Yeah.
Calendar turn, by the way. It's July now. So you're less than a month away.
I know, but now I'm preoccupied.
Right. You know how you were revved up the other day for football, man? I know it's a long shot. I know that as a fan, I get my hopes up as, I don't know, broadcaster, whatever you want to call us. Maybe I think a little bit more objectively, but oh my goodness, as a fan, I can't help but wonder. I can't help but think and wonder and the what could be. The what could be, I mean, we're talking Broad Street. And I know it's July and that parade wouldn't happen for like 11 months, but we're talking Broad Street with that move.
And beyond Broad Street, we one thing that we all convene, right? We love the game, right? We enjoy the game. We love the game. That's what brings us together. No matter what sport it is, it's just, I love it. And I was talking about this earlier in the week when I was in my football insanity mode, right? And I was like a ravenous beast looking for, you know, meat, right? You know what I mean? The thing that you love about basketball is the beauty of movement. All right, so I watch basketball and I see art, right? Because art can be many things, right? It's a painting, it's a sculpture, it's movement, right? It can be a movie, it could be video. It's movement. And the art of basketball, the beauty of that sport, the one that's played at the highest level where the ball moves and the arcing shots, you know, twinkle the net. I mean, it's a beautiful game and it's very artistic. And to watch it be played by, you know, those three guys, because here's the thing about Harden, too. You know, I mean, obviously, if you have Durant, I think, listen, I'm buying he's in no matter what, all right? The fact that he did what he did with his contract, it's still not done for a reason, I think. But the fact that he did what he did with his contract, my man's all in. I got nothing but love for Harden right now.
Yeah, I think he has to be, right?
Yeah.
He's money all in, and everything, man. He got
to
be.
He's all in. He wants to win. So, and the one thing that Harden is incredible at, and we saw it last year, was angles, right? Harden is incredible at angles. We all hate him, Simmons is a great passer, but he was a great passer on the open floor. What Harden does, and what makes Harden a better passer, is the fact that defenders have to come up on him and guard him. And he's amazing at understanding angles and passing the basketball. He's a gifted, gifted passer. So playing with Embiid and Durant, oh my God. Well, I mean, could you imagine the level of ball? The level of artistic expression on a basketball court? Bot! I know you're a bot, but even the bot appreciates art.
There's beauty in robotics too, right? Wiring and stuff, you know, the panels and switchboards and all that. There's a beauty in everything. But you're right, man. It would be... That's the one thing about James Harden that I think people overlook because they are so clamoring towards Houston James Harden of what kind of a playmaker he is, what kind of a floor creator and a shot creator that he is. And that's why we use that term like contributable points as opposed to me caring about... You know, is he going to score 31 or 40 or 28 right. or whatever? I need him to be what the Sixers need him to be. Like, I need him to be a chameleon. And if the Sixers need 15 assists on a given night, but it's only, you know, 17 points, that's great. If they need 23 and 12, that's fine too.
Yes. Oh my God, dude. It would be sensational. Sensational. I can't even imagine it. Like, in my mind, like, it just explodes. That's why it's Geek Week, man, because only us geeks can appreciate it. All right, we got to discuss it. And here's the other thing, and I want you to think about this too, Bot. Put Durant aside for a second, all right? Put him over there in the corner, and let's you know, pray to St. Anthony, all right? Without KD, the team as it is now, I like it.
They're better than they were 48 hours ago.
I like this team. I do. We got to discuss that as well, because the chances, again, I do believe the chances are remote that they land them, but, you know, we're going to, as long as he's available, I'm going to entertain it. But the other part of the conversation is, I think Morey did a great job. I like those ex-Rockets. I think those ex-Rockets help. I do. I think they help. Well, let's talk about it. It'll be a fun day of geeking out. Yes, the Deal Zone. It's hot. The Deal Zone. Could you imagine celebrating the fourth fireworks? KD and Sixer. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you join us. I want to geek out today, guys. Let's dream, man. It's Friday. It's a holiday weekend across the Delaware Valley. It's all good to dream. Cuz Radio, the Bot, in for the Chewness right here on this beautiful Friday, 97.5, the Fanatic, monster money. We'll see what else happens. Now, as we sit and wait, because we have to wait for the Harden thing to get kind of worked out. No, I think they're waiting to see what falls out, what the fallout is for KD. There's still Matisse and Tobias that they can kind of move and mess around with. So that's going to be interesting to kind of follow along. Some other news, Bruce Brown, the exodus of Brooklyn continues. God, you want to talk about, you know, Brooklyn flight. Bruce Brown has agreed to a 2-year, $13 million deal with the Nuggets. The Nuggets, I think, have had a really good free agent period. Mitchell Robinson, he's a good ball player, Mitchell Robinson. They agreed on a 4-year, $60 million deal to stay with the Knicks after that big Jalen Brunson deal. That's kind of going on. There's all kinds of rumors and there's a guy, Jack Settleman, who's really plugged in, and he does, he's really good at Snap Sports on Snapchat. He's like really, really good, plugged in, and the Settleman still thinks that Phoenix is the favorite to land Durant. He also had the Sixers going all in, which, you know, is obviously our big story. Wow, amazing stuff. All right, let's get started. Talk to our friends. Let's enjoy this thing because, listen, you never know what happens. The beauty of sports, man, you never know what's around the corner and what transpires. You know, 1983, imagine that the Sixers, who were fresh in the finals in 1982, they lose to the Lakers. They were in the finals. In 1981, they were in the conference finals against Boston. They lose. Boston goes on to beat Moses and the Rockets. In 80, they're in the finals. They lose to the Lakers again. So you have a team that was that good, and they land the best big man in the game. So if that could happen in 1983, why can't it happen now with KD if he wants to come here? Let's get it started. T. Will, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. T. Will.
It's a wrap, Ed.
It's a wrap, baby.
It's a wrap. Hey, listen, we're going to put that to the side for a minute. A few weeks back, I told you I didn't want Bradley Beal, and I wanted Morey to build us a bench. We needed a bench. You know, it's been a glaring issue with this team, even when we had Simmons. We just needed a bench. Yeah, we finally got a bench. We have an NBA bench now.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about these runs that happened to the Sixers, because we have a bench now that can stop those runs. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's a good point.
So, okay, so you get the bench, all right? Harden's meeting with Curry this weekend, and I think you laid it out perfectly. They're going to wait to see what happens with KD, to see what Maury and Marks are talking about behind the scenes before Harden makes any deal. Because the more money he gives back, the easier it's going to be to land a KD. So it's just like it's a weekend.
Plus, you have Tobias, right? So you have Tobias's contract that would be included. And remember, I don't think that that's crazy, right? Like Tobias, Matisse, and of course Tyrese. I mean, that's a competitive offer.
That's a strong offer, and you know we talked about that on Philly Full Court Press, and we said, you know,
yes,
potentially
your fine podcast.
Yeah, we're throwing it out there. We're not saying KD's coming here, but this is what the package would look like because the money works. Remember, you got to trade a max for a max. Phoenix signed Booker for a max, and I don't think there's not anything Brooklyn can offer Phoenix besides KD, and I don't think they want to get rid of Booker. So I think that's just smokescreen right there.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're right. I agree with that. That's great sleuth work by you. There is always a smokescreen. The only thing is Bridges, Cam Johnson, and a sign and trade with Ayton, that's not bad.
Yeah, but where's the max player money at on that? Is it AD? Is it Ayton?
Yeah, it's DeAndre Ayton.
But he's on a rookie deal.
No, it's a sign and trade. That's what would happen. So you would sign him.
You would sign him and trade him over. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. That's not a bad all. I mean, Ayton, we love Bridges, and I think Cam Johnson's a nice player, too. So, I mean, it's not crazy. So
I like the Harris Matisse deal better. And plus, you know, not for nothing, Harris is from New York, so you'd be sending him home. You know, he puts up solid numbers. So, you know, and he could go play with Simmons because him and Simmons got along.
What about now the other one that I'm always leery about because it is the NBA and it's a theater league, and that would be both Kyrie and KD joining up with the Lakers. That's kind of scary.
That's scary, but like you said, it's a fantasy league too. So who knows? I don't think the Lakers or Pelinka have any leverage to even make that happen.
No, but the only leverage they have is KD and Kyrie wanting to go there, right? So if they decide, I mean, it would cost them. I mean, I don't know why the Nets would do this, other than you know, because you would have to do Westbrook and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and LeBron ain't giving up AD.
Well, yeah, you offer for Durant and Kyrie in a second.
Who knows? Who knows what 37-year-old LeBron's thinking about? But, yeah, real quick, let's talk about this KD to Philly. Because you said, you know, there's a lot of tea leaves with that. You have KD with the 5% ownership with the Philadelphia Union. He has good ties with Michael Rubin.
Right.
Right? And, you know, he loves Embiid.
I agree with you. Listen, that's why I don't think, great call, man. That's why I don't think it's completely insane. I don't think it's like complete hogwash and, you know, out of the realm of possibility. Now, look, I think there's other, you know, destinations? Like, listen, Phoenix is legit. And again, I don't put anything past the Lakers. You know, I mean, I think you'd be a fool to completely discount it, knowing what this league's about. However, think about it. You know, Tyrese, he's not wrong. Tyrese, Tobias, Matisse, and, you know, you throw your picks in there. I mean, that's a formidable offer, I think. I mean, Maxie's, think about, if you can look at the, you look at the Phoenix deal. I'd rather have Tyrese Maxey than Bridges, Cam Johnson, or Ayton. How about you, Bot?
I'm a big Ayton guy. I like Ayton a lot. And that may be more me than most. I think that but in a guard-driven league, in a wing-driven league, Ayton probably is not the the centerpiece compared to Maxey and a deal. Like, I don't think Tobias Harris isn't the centerpiece in that trade. He's a very good player. He's a very consistent player.
Obviously, Maxey's the piece. Maxey's the guy that's on the cusp of stardom.
Right.
So that's a young player. That's the attractiveness of the offer. I mean, the offer doesn't. There is no offer without Tyrese.
No, that's what I'm saying is who's the centerpiece of the Suns trade? Is it Ayton or Bridges to you?
Ayton.
So you're looking at Ayton versus Maxey.
Right, which is my point, which is Maxey is more attractive than Ayton.
Yeah, hello,
probably. In a guard-heavy league, probably.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I know for some reason the bot, you have an affinity toward weird players. I'm trying to figure you out.
Like who?
I don't know. We went through the last couple days. I was like, you know.
DeAndre Ayton's probably like the sixth best center in the league. I would go 5-7.
Well, since it's a two-center league.
Sure. Yeah,
what's that tell you?
They're the premier centers.
There's two of them in the league. In a league where the big man's irrelevant.
I think Karl Anthony Towns is pretty important.
Yeah, all right.
But, I get your point.
I think he's got fleas. I think he's a great ball player, but he don't win anything. And he comes up small a lot. As you saw in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was not good in the playoffs.
He was horrendous. Like AD's always hurt.
Yeah, I don't even know if I consider him a center. I mean, I know he is.
Well,
we
call him a big.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, there is no positions. No, I'm trying to figure you out, bot. You're a bot. You and I don't have it. We don't agree a lot on players. How about your boy, the Dort? Got ridiculous money.
A lot of money. $88 million.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see that coming.
Oh my God!
I thought he'd get in the 50 to 60 range.
The Dort got paid.
Crazy.
Yes, the Dort got paid. I don't see that. I'll get that a little bit. Let's go to AC in the Northeast. AC.
Yo, what's up, brother? That was me last night.
I know it was. You were looking good over there at Parks with your babe.
Yeah, brought the wife out for the day. Yeah, it was too long.
You guys make a nice couple, brother.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. You know, I wanted to get a chance to talk to you, but I don't know. What are you, 6-7 over there on Thursday?
Yes. Yes.
Man, that's got to be brutal coming all the way back up here and then going all the way back home for just an hour up here. It's only up here an hour, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It takes longer to go home. Too. Yeah, because I live in the Bumbleweeds.
Oh, dude. I'd be so miserable. I'd be like, you know, let me spend a couple hours at the casino afterward and start getting a little bit and go.
No, that defeats the purpose of going out there.
Yeah, but if you go out there for an hour, it's not a waste, but it's a waste.
Yeah, that's fine. I like it there. So, you know.
Nah, it's a good time. If the Sixers get Durant, like back what you just said, 82-83, Moses Malone. Because they went there in 80 and lost to the Lakers in 6 when Magic played center. And then you got 81, they blew the 3-1 lead. And then 82, they blew a 3-1 lead, but then came back and won in game 7.
Yes.
The Boston Strangler.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then in the offseason, they went out and they got Moses Malone. I remember that as a kid. I was like, Dad, we're winning it all.
Right? You knew. Think about it, AC. You knew deep in your bones they were going to win it.
That's right. You knew it. And you know what? You look at it. I don't even know who they added other than Moses Malone. I knew who their bench was. But, like, I don't remember, like, in 82 of Frankie Edwards or Clint Richardson being there. You know, I don't know who they added. Or even a Clemon Johnson. I don't even remember him being there the year before. But all I know is I was so excited. And if I would trade, here's what I would do. To get Durant, I don't know about contracts and cap and all that. That's up your alley. But I would get rid of Tobias, Maxey, Seibel, the next 10 first-round draft picks.
Right, right.
Wouldn't you do that to get this
yes.
first shot?
Yes, 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 yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, I would do that.
Amped up, man. I'm excited.
I know. Listen, so in case it doesn't happen, I do think that they're in pretty good shape. I like what Maury's done a lot. A lot I like what he's done.
Yeah, I do too. I would like to get if I would like to get the other rocket too, Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
He's a good shooter. If you have that, I mean, you could come out of the East. But the Rockets, I mean, I know we discussed this before with the acquisition of Harden. They had to go through Golden State, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I think in the East, you got Boston and Milwaukee. I think you could beat those two, especially with a healthy Embiid. And you got Durant. And, oh, man. I'm sorry. Forget that. I got Durant on the mind.
I know, dude. Listen, I love it. I listen, I'm with you, man. I love it. Yeah. Nah, enjoy it. Who knows, man? We get to dream for a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Just do it. Good stuff, AC. Have a great weekend, brother. I'm the same way, man. Just who cares? Just dream a little bit. So be it. Look at the bench. Here's the bench in 1983. You ready, Bot?
Let's do it.
So Bobby Jones was legit. He was like his starter. Because you know that Iveroni was the placeholder.
Yeah, that's sixth man of the year. That you knew Bobby Jones was getting starter minutes.
And then you got Clint Richardson, who played was valuable piece. Clemmie Johnson was Moses' backup. Earl Cureton was a backup big. Frankie Edwards was a backup point guard as well. Clint Richardson could run the point and play the off guard. And then you had guys like who never played, Russ Shaney, Mark McNamara. Now these names every man, Reggie Johnson, J.J. Anderson. You know, I mean it's a pretty top heavy roster. No?
Yeah, you started getting down to the bottom of that bench, and I'm like, I don't know,
right.
I don't know who
those
that
guys
is at all.
I mean, they were really 7-8 deep. I mean, you know, you played Clemmie Johnson, Clint Richardson. And then a little Frankie, a little Earl Twirl. That's basically what your team was. But and Bobby Jones, I'm going to count as a starter because Iveroni played only a couple minutes. But that's what it was like. I don't know. I look because people say, well, I've heard all kinds of weird things about regards to a possible Durant trade, which is, oh, my God, you're going to deplete your bench. Oh, my God, I don't want to trade Tyrese. Like, again. No one's looking. I don't want to trade Tyrese either, except when Kevin Durant's there. Like, then you go, all right, well, love you, dude. Really love you. Really want you to do well. You know, I would root for them to win, right? Even with Simmons on that team because of Tyrese.
I don't know about them. I'd root for him.
You know what I'm saying? When I say
no,
that,
I mean, gotcha.
I mean, you got to be like magnanimous because. Sixers win a title. Like, I would be like, I'd hope they would have success, a modicum of success, right?
And they lose to the Sixers in the playoffs.
Well, they, yeah.
There you go.
All right, I can take it. 1-8, and then you bounce. Maxie rolls 40 a night, and Simmons 0-7 from the floor. And in the series, the whole series.
He takes seven shots in the whole series.
It's a four-game sweep for the Sixers. That's how it plays out. Real quick.
1-9 from the line.
Right. How about the fightings yesterday, or at least the lumber?
Derek Hall.
I know. Two bombs from the big lefty.
First two hits of his career. Boom.
Right? Two bombs. You kidding me? I actually was good to see. They needed that.
Yeah, they needed to get out of whatever kind of stink they had going on. Yeah. And, you know, you said it yesterday. You're like, yeah, one game, you know, a little bit of a damper on the series, but at least it kind of flushes out that stink a little bit. And
yes.
now you got seven games
it's
in the next 11 days.
Castellanos, Big Nick get it.
Needed that. Get
a bomb. So yeah,
first home run in June. Took him the whole month.
Right? I mean, at least he got it. He got Castellanos, Schwarber again, Hoskins again, right? And then two from Hall. Schwarber is unbelievable.
Unreal.
Wow.
If he's not NL Player of the Month, and guys have been great. There's been a lot of good players in the NL.
Yeah.
But, man, if he's not NL Player of the Month.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was good fireworks on a Thursday or an early Thursday night. And it was so needed because you just couldn't get swept by them, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was the thing that I was scared the most about last night. Is it like if you get swept by the Braves with St. Louis coming in, that's a great offense that St. Louis, the Cardinals have. The last thing you needed was to get swept by Atlanta. So that was important. And it's great to see that the kid comes up and gives you two bombs. I was talking about him about a month ago, about 6 weeks ago, with Charlie. I was talking to Charlie, and he goes, Anthony, that kid can hit. Now, he can hit right-handed pitching. You're not going to see him against lefties, but he can hit right-handed pitching. He said he got some power, raw power. He's got that country power. That was good to see. So, all right. Well, we'll keep you abreast of what's going on. I keep doing. Are you doing the same thing, Bot?
Yes.
Anything new on NBA free agency?
Yes, we do have a little bit new on NBA free agency. As you said, Mitchell Robinson, 4-year, $60 million deal to stay with the New York Knicks. I don't know about you. Now, you might say, this is another guy. I don't know why you like him. I like Mitchell Robinson.
Actually, I do too.
And I think at 15, you know, 15 a year, that's not bad.
He's a good ball player. I actually agree with you there.
All right, I got one.
I do.
Took me all week.
I agree with you.
I got one.
I wasn't a big Trey Mancini guy. Who else? Lou Dort. I mean, you know, better than Thibel, but not.
Right. But not for $88 million.
Right. By the way, you want to think, could Zion be the biggest thief in the history of sports thieves?
His is coming soon. That contract is apparently on the way.
The 5-year, $231 million rookie max contract. Are you kidding me?
Well, and that kind of brings up the question, like, did they have to do it? Former number one pick, the potential is enormous.
No, you have to do it. Right. You're stuck.
Right. You're in a weird spot.
My point is, he's a raging thief. and the fact that he gets 231 million hamburgers on top of it, wow.
Hey, listen, man, I'm a big proponent of, if the station put $1 million in front of me, do I deserve $1 million? I don't know, probably not. But if they said, hey, here's $1 million, who am I to say no to that? You know what I mean?
I'm taking it too. I never begrudge a player. Never. Never. Does it not make him a thief? But hey, man, I would be thieving too.
Oh,
I
sure
agree with that. But that's a heist.
Hey, I know you played like 8 games.
231 million hamburgers. And you imagine, what's he going to be like after you give the fat to that fat contract?
A lot of money, man.
That's a big contract, man. Ooh, but you got to do it. I hear you.
Yeah.
That's the business that they have chosen, and you got to roll with it.
You think think they regret not taking Morant yet?
You got that? Oh, my God. All right. Lots to get to. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. This is just such a great time, man. This is a lot of fun. So let's we're getting it cooking. And don't forget, Fanatic Fridays presented by Pump Man Philly. PumpManPhilly.com. You need a water pump expert for your facility for 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement. Count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Welcome.
Fanatic Sports can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Okay, input. How was the hard drive already full?
Jawan's Pilates studio converted to entirely virtual classes.
SMPEG.
But leading and editing sessions is stretching her too thin.
It says render failed. What did I do?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by conducting interviews on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. Home of the most entertaining sports talk in Philadelphia. 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Eleven AM across the Delaware Valley. The bot was saying, I'm refreshing Twitter
constantly.
Yes. I'm doing the same thing, buddy. Doing the same thing. So on, I got to share this with you. I got to get this back up. On the Ringer did a thing where they did the five most intriguing KD trades. Now, they did not list the Sixers as one of them. They go this. Trade one, the Suns. The Suns trade Durant for Ayton, Mikal Bridges, 3 first-round picks, and 2 first-round swaps. Then they go Toronto. Durant for Scottie Barnes, Anunoby, Gary Trent, or Siakam and Anunoby plus multiple first-round picks and multiple swaps. I don't know what. First of all, KD is not going to Toronto. The Grizzlies. Durant for Jaren Jackson, Dylan Brooks, 3 future first-round picks, 3 swaps. I mean, to that. Wouldn't you rather have Maxey?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Dylan Brooks, good player. I mean, Jaren Jackson, defensive player.
Made a creep move in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That Raptors one intrigues me. You're right. I don't think he has any interest in playing Toronto.
Yeah, listen. They got players. Like, if they wanted to go that route, Scottie Barnes, Anunoby, Gary Trent, that works.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good return for a team that probably knows its back's up against the wall with this situation.
I mean, that could work. But again, he's not going there.
Does he have any kind of veto power? I truly don't know.
Who, KD?
Yeah, when it comes to a trade.
He's got all the power in the world. I mean, he just tells you, I'm not going there, and that trade's not happening. I mean, look, that's where the agents know the power. I mean, the veto power is understood that he's got the power. It's like, did Vito Corleone have power?
So that's what I'm asking, like, contractually. Like, I know that he can say, I'm not playing there, but they're under no pretense to say, oh, well, okay, I guess you're not going there. Like, if they want to trade him, they can trade him.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen in the NBA. Because the agent, like, remember, KD is power is, you know, all encompassing.
Yeah, it's enormous.
You know, so, could he go to Memphis? Yeah. Could you trade Memphis? Yeah. But you're not going to unless he agrees to it. That's why they hire third-party firms to get trades. You know, for these big deals, they get third-party firms to go work out deals. Because guys don't go. That's it. You got to play ball. So it's not about contractual power. It's about he's got all the power. Now, how about this one? Would you do, like, they bring up the Celtics. God forbid. You ready?
Ugh, that'd be gross.
Durant for Tice, Grant Williams, and Jaylen Brown.
I mean, in terms of getting star caliber player back, he's the best player you'd you'd get back.
Right.
He's better than Maxey. He's better than Ananobi and Barnes. And, you know, in terms of star caliber player, he'd be the one you'd get back.
Right.
I wonder if they look at that and go, yeah, we love Jaylen Brown, but the other two guys are like.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Like, eh. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's nothing there that makes me go, wow, that sounds great. Like, the Raptors trade sounds awesome in theory.
Here's the, there's one more. You ready? The Hawks. Durant for Joe Harris. Durant and Joe Harris for John Collins, Clint Capella, Bogdanovich, and 2023, 2029 first round picks.
I don't like that a little bit. Playing big for the Hawks next year if that's the case? KD going to be playing the five.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, it's not a...
I wouldn't want that.
John Collins,
Fugazi. Capella's a one-trick pony. I got no interest in that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good to me.
But I don't understand why they didn't even put the Sixers in the equation. That was the ringer. That was the ringer.
Have anything to do with the Nets not wanting to make another move with a divisional rival? You know, because the Harden-Simmons one was like disgruntled guy here, disgruntled guy there.
Yeah, but Boston, they had a deal with Boston. They put Boston.
Yeah, that's true.
So why would that be?
I wonder if they value Maxey less than we do.
You know what's funny? I always wondered, listen, I think real NBA people know how good Maxey is. I don't know that some of these reporters, I don't think they know how good this kid is. He's ridiculously fast. He's improved the shot. Like, if you look at what Tyrese has done, I mean, how many players can score in bunches the way he does?
Especially at his age, not many. Or his tenure in the league.
Exactly. Dude, his prowess, his scoring in bunches, and he did it in the playoffs, dude. Like, you know, think about his playoff games. He's got 4 points at halftime, and he scores 18 in the third. Are you kidding me? And he's 21. I mean, dude.
Yeah, enormous upside and potential still there.
And right now, look what he did. He proved his shot from three. I mean, you know, this kid's a stud, man. I mean, he's legit. His ceiling is. It's why nobody. Listen, we'll be real for a second. Part of his devotion here, and I'll use that word, is because he's just a beautiful kid, right?
Oh, yeah, the charm is off the charts.
Exactly. He's a beautiful kid. You love him. He's just the smile, the joy. I mean, he's one of the few athletes that I've ever seen come on the scene like him, and you just go, oh, my God, this kid's amazing. He's every bit Allen, except he's got, you know, he didn't grow up if the way Allen grew up, right? With Allen had a chip because the way he grew up. Tyrese has great dad, great parents, the whole thing, and comes from a stable home. And you can see, like, he's just a joy. He's a joyful kid, right? And he's just friendly and outgoing and trusting, you know, all those things. And he's just a joy.
Sure.
Right? So that makes him way more attractive. However, it should not overshadow how good a ball player he is, right? He's got an A-plus personality, but he's also got an A-plus game.
Right, and that's the thing. We've seen guys in sports, not just in Philly, but in sports in general, that they come on, they, you know, they're polite, they're great in interviews, they're charitable, they do a lot.
Look at Jalen. I mean, come on. First of all, you got to be Satan to hate Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Really, seriously, you got to.
He's a great guy.
There's no way you could dislike Jalen.
Sure.
No way. That's why it always laughs when people go hater. When people call the people a hater. Come on, dude. It's impossible to hate Jalen. Impossible. He's like, you were talking to another guy with a smile, smart, does what he does. Like, he's just a great dude, all around great guy. That you want him to win the job and keep the job and be the guy because he's a joy to watch and root for.
Sure.
Part of rooting for your team is you want to love your players, right? You don't want creeps. And Jalen's a guy you love. But
right.
If Jalen had the ability that Maxie does, then, you know, it would be the greatest thing in the world.
I think we all recognize that Maxie's got star potential to his name. You know, to play on top of everything you
do. But I think we do here because we watch him. And I don't know that whoever wrote the story for The Ringer, you know, I don't know if they know that. You know, I don't know if they realize how good he is, which is why they omitted it. And by the way, you know, like Tobias, Matisse, and Maxie, I don't think is a bad deal at all. Like, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy non-starter. I completely think it's a good deal.
Yeah, especially completely. Like we were talking about when the Nets have their backs up against the wall, they know that there's no win situation for them here.
Right.
You're looking to salvage what the best you can, and they say, oh, they want to get the world's greatest pass, which makes sense. I mean, Kevin Durant might be the greatest scorer to walk the planet, or one of them, but when your back's up against the wall like that, it does become tough to say, well, we want 7 first-round picks and Maxey and Embiid, and you know what I mean?
Right. All right, let's go to the phones, talk to our buddies, our friends on a beautiful Friday, a Friday of hope. Ish, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Ish.
Hey, cuz, what's going on?
What's happening, my man? How you feeling, buddy?
We want KD. We want KD.
Yes. You imagine how every game would be must-see TV.
Yep.
Every game, I would say, they could be playing the Pistons on a Wednesday night in December. You're like, oh, I can't wait for the game tonight.
Yeah. What's taking so long to get KD here? What's taking so long?
Well, I mean, I do think there's a lot of hurdles, and I still think the Sixers are probably the third favorite, or probably the third favorite. I think Phoenix would be the preferred destination. I had this weird Laker feeling, which scares me. Yeah. But I will say this, though, Ish. I like what Morey's done already, too.
Yeah, he did a nice job.
I'm thinking. All right, Ish, are you good, buddy? Oh, man, I think I lost.
I think he dropped off.
Oh, Ish, all right. That's all right. Let's go to DJ in Mount Laurel. DJ! Yo, DJ. No DJ. Let's try Derek in Virginia. Derek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's Merchantville, and I'm right over the bridge.
I don't know why it says Virginia. Anyway, what's going on, baby?
Hey, Anthony, years, man. I haven't talked to you in a while, man. Good talking to you, brother.
I
called you years ago, man. Told you it was an inspiration for my son, man. He went and he got his communications degree from you. I told him, I'm like, from around the way.
Get out! That's awesome!
Yeah.
Where's he starting out at?
Right now he's teaching. Right now he's teaching, but he got a communications degree from Stockton University here.
Oh, Andrew. God bless him. That's beautiful, man.
But, man, I ride with you on everything with Maxie. The only problem is with the other two.
What, Tobias and Matisse?
Tobias and Stiebel. Like,
yeah, well, Tobias makes the money, so the money works.
And that's the issue. Because
right?
Tobias is the one that makes the money. But, eh, just look like, and I'm sorry, Ant, I'm a homer. Anything Mikal Bridges come up in, it hurts. Because he's supposed to be here. And neither one of them two dudes can compare to Mikal Bridges.
Who?
From a basketball standpoint.
Tyrese?
No, not Tyrese. Tyrese is untouchable. He's not on that level. Tyrese is up there in the stratosphere, like you said. But the problem is that Tyrese's talent doesn't outweigh the deficiencies of the other two.
I disagree with you a little bit. Listen, forget about the money for a second.
Right.
Tobias is a good ball player.
He's not better than Mikal Bridges.
He's
not better than Mikal Bridges.
I love
better than Cam Johnson. Honestly, be honest. And let's look at it honestly.
But here's the thing: Tyrese is the best player of the whole group.
He is, but his talent doesn't outweigh the deficiencies of.
I disagree with that statement.
And you get look. Watch this. And wait.
First of all, Tobias, you act like Tobias is trash. He's not trash.
He's not, but Fibel is. Here's the reason why. Because, wait for it, and just give me a second.
Go ahead.
Cam Johnson and our boy are flat-out knockdown shooters, and you cannot get away from that. They are flat-out knockdown shooters, and they both play D like Fibel. Maybe not to the level of Fibel, but they both are better shooters and, to me, better players than those two guys, which again, Maxie, there's no question about Maxie, but his talent doesn't outweigh what you're getting in the other two guys. And then if you throw Ayton is a throw-in? That's a hell of a deal. And that's the reason why the Sixers aren't in that top five, because of what's the last thing we saw. We used it about Ben. The last thing we saw was, and the last thing
yeah,
we saw
I, the I, was he couldn't I disagree. Play. Listen. I already told you, I do believe that Phoenix, Phoenix is the preferred or the favorite destination. I disagree how you break down the trade. I love you. I completely disagree with you.
No, I can't. And look, the greatest thing about life is this. We disagree with each other, but we still love each other.
It goes without saying. I could be bullheaded with the rest of them. Yeah. And that has nothing to do with how I feel about you.
Yeah,
but
how you approach it and approach it the right
way. Yeah, exactly. With respect. Listen, I completely appreciate where you're coming from with Phoenix, and I don't disagree. Well, the other aspect is those other trades where he's not going to Toronto, he's not going to Memphis. I mean, KD gets to pick where he wants to go.
Well, let's deal with the flake part of it. Let's deal with the flakiness, because is him and James over their issues with one another?
Well, I don't know. I know he loves Embiid. I know he loves Embiid, right? Right? Like, you know he loves Embiid.
Because the other part of it now, if we throw the flakiness with James, we know like he gets along well with P.J. Tucker because they're ex-teammates. They love each other.
And he also loves Embiid. That's the key.
That's a great key, too. But it's just that, man, Tobias and Thibel, they just hurt me this past. Oh, they hurt me bad, man. I'm...
Yeah, you know what's funny about the Tobias thing? He had a terrific playoffs. I mean, he really did. He did his role. And good stuff, brother. Thanks for the call. Always a pleasure, man.
Always a pleasure.
Best you some, baby. Best you some. Listen, I get the Tobias thing. I truly do. I get it. I get the Tobias thing. But he played well. You can't say he wasn't a quality piece in the playoffs.
Played
last
well in the
year.
Playoffs.
He was a double double, but he played good defense.
And you know what, too, that I wonder, and is Derek was talking about. You know, he said Thibel and Harris, they hurt me in the playoffs, and or they hurt me last year. He said, and that's fine if you feel that way. But I hope that it's not clouding Derek's feel and judgment on this trade and their value. Like, I agree with him. I think Thibel has no value whatsoever. I think he stinks. But with Harris, I think you're getting one of the more consistent players in the league. Even if it's not necessarily flashy, you're getting a consistent player. Yeah,
pair him with Tyrese,
right,
it makes it something. And listen, I'm down on, like everybody else, I'm down on Thibel. Until you can shoot the ball, I don't know if I can play it, right? But I do believe that I've seen players that change the scenery, and the next thing you know, it starts to click, and he becomes a credible shooter. And listen, I think, you know, there were times, and Keith Pompey was on with Tyrone yesterday, and he talked about this, and Keith is not wrong. There were times last year before the thing came up with Toronto where when he was active, when Thibault was active going to the basket because he's such a great athlete, that he gave you something. He did. And that's undeniable. So, am I down on him yet? Do I think he stinks? No. Do I think he's got change of scenery and he can flourish and become a role player? Yeah. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Well, you talk about that athleticism, right? You, as you said, get to the rim, backdoor cut, you know what I mean? Like alley-oop type plays. Right. When he plays above the rim, he's a contributor. If he can shoot the three, he's a contributor. We know what he is defensively, but I don't know if I trust, you know.
You're not wrong about what you saw, especially in the playoffs where, you know, I mean, you couldn't play him. Doc couldn't play him. I completely agree. But he is, you know, young, and he is a guy that, you know, sometimes those guys develop later.
Sure.
You know, that's my only point. Like, you know.
As
a throw into a deal with a budding superstar in Maxi and a real credible Tobias Harris type of player, I mean, you know, if I'm the Nets, I want to see what, you know, if maybe I get lucky and he develops. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I mean, obviously you're not going to pair him with Simmons.
Right. I think for me, there's a difference between writing him off entirely and writing him off in Philadelphia. And I think that's the difference. If he finds a new scenery and he thrives and flourishes, God bless. Good for him. But yeah. I don't think it happens here.
My buddy Jordy goes, imagine if we held on to Ben, we would have Durant already. Oh, my. All right. Coming up. I got a little nugget and I want to pass along. Because, you know, I talked to some people and I just got a note that I want to share into this thing. Now, I will tell you that my sources tell me that they are still in on Kevin Durant. Now, again, they believe it's hard, but nothing is impossible in this league. And if it is possible to happen, they will make it happen. Like, they are, you know, full throttle on this thing. So I know that for a fact, that they are full throttle on this thing. They are all in. They believe it's going to be hard to make it come to fruition, but nothing's impossible. And that's all you can ask for, right? All you can ask for is that they're in. And they're in, and we'll see.
If
they can somehow, if KD can somehow flex and go, you know what, Philadelphia would be a great choice, then it can happen. Man, it's going to be a wild weekend, right? You know, like, you're going to be sitting there. Do you remember, you know what was amazing? I heard Tyrone talk about this. It was 3 years ago to the day yesterday that Woj hit you with Kyrie and KD and Harden all joining forces.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
Feels like it was like 3 months ago.
And the two seasons that followed, you got 16 games.
Together?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
That's terrible. You talked about ROI earlier in the week. That's a terrible ROI.
Is that nuts?
I mean, it makes sense to do it, of course.
I mean, I never even thought. I was like, are you kidding me? It's insane. I mean, I couldn't imagine that they would just be such a flame out. Such a flop. Obviously, today we're geeking out. We're knee-deep into this thing. And a little bit later on, I'm going to go and we're going to ask. We're going to play Ask the Bot. And the bot has been just about flawless.
Got to finish the week strong, though.
All right, just about flawless. So we'll play Ask the Bot. We're all going to give him a player. We may play the game that I used to play with my guy, Richie the Barber, who used to cut my hair when I was 8 years old, who had a place in Southwest Philly.
So when you were playing that game, my dad texted me, right? And he said that he and his dad, on the rides to their to the shore, used to play the same game.
Get out!
Yep. Had the fills on, you know, down you know, Friday night or whatever.
That's awesome!
Play that game, yep.
I love Mr. Zuli. Mr. Zuli sounds like a great dude.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I think that I've always said this. I think me and my dad, like, you've met me. Obviously, you spend time with me. Me and my dad are the same person.
That's awesome.
So I think that I hope.
I love the fact that you say that. Like, I love the fact that you're proud of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? I hope so.
Yeah, we have a great relationship.
Listen, as someone who adores his two kids, right?
Sure.
My two sons, I'm praying that they have the same, that someday that they'll have the same reaction as you do.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So I think that's cool. Let's go to the phone lines. And then I also want to get into the flipping of the calendar. Because today's a big flip of the calendar when it comes to football. Right? Football. By the way, looks like according to Woj, Gallinari is going to join the Celtics once he's released from the Spurs.
Yuck.
So it looks like Gallinari goes to Boston.
Yuck.
To space the floor. That's actually a good signing for them.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, because he can give you another guy off the bench. You know the guy can fill it, right? Like he's just going to go, come off the bench, give you 15 minutes. And, you know, bombs away.
Yeah, and the good thing is, obviously, they're already a pretty defensively efficient team. So
exactly.
It's not like they're not going to ask him to do anything defensively that he can't do. Because we know he stinks defensively.
Right. Exactly. All right, let's go to DJ. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, DJ.
How you doing? Sorry, I got disconnected earlier.
That's all right, buddy. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th, man. So, I wanted to go with the theme of Geek Week, right?
And if yes.
This KD thing happens, right? Is Ben Simmons Darth Vader? Is he the chosen one? You know, he turned to the dark side, and I don't know if you know Star Wars, but
walk me through it. I do know that. So he's Darth Vader,
essentially. At this
right.
point, he's Darth Vader, and if we get KD, basically, it's like the end of Star Wars. You know, he was the one that brought us. If he brings us a championship, by us getting KD, then, I mean, technically, he's the chosen one.
Wow, you're right, dude. You're right, DJ. Ben would be the chosen one. He would have gotten us the title by proxy. You're right.
And right now, that he's handcuffing them from getting some of those trades because of his contract. So,
Yes.
But,
that's awesome.
Even if we don't get KD. Right now, I really like what Daryl did. If you think about the glaring weakness of this team, and there's some people out there saying that, you know, we didn't improve. Well,
really?
There's people out there, they didn't do enough. They didn't do enough. I mean, that bench that we were putting out there, man. we had Paul Millsap out there, man. We had DeAndre Jordan. In the
I know.
People who can't even play basketball anymore.
Guys, you couldn't even play, right? And then you think about it, like you had Matisse, who couldn't play, right? Like, that whole thing messed him up. I do believe the Toronto vaccine, everything all kind of messed him up. But he reached a point where you couldn't play him. Korkmaz was unplayable. Milton was unplayable. I mean,
your whole bench is basically unplayable. And
yeah.
Niang, who was your best bench piece, well, Danny Green was technically your best bench piece, but he became a starter.
Right.
Niang fell off in the playoffs, man. Like, he was.
Bad fouls. Remember, he couldn't stay on the floor.
Yeah, defensive liability. He wasn't hitting threes. Like, the only thing he was there for was to hit threes. He wasn't even doing that. So, I mean, where does he fit now in the scheme of the bench? I mean, does he even get, like, if we were to start the playoffs today, I don't even think he would get minutes, really, to be honest.
Well, you still need a backup four, right?
Well, don't you have House? Is House going to be your three? Because you would have House to be your backup four.
See, I got him at more as a three.
I mean, I guess he could be your three. It's just weird. I mean, and right, technically, right?
Because he's more of a wing shooter, well, right? Like, so you're more of a wing shooter. You have Melton, who could play two, three, right? You got House that can play three. You can go small with him too, but he could play 3-4. You would have Niang. I mean, it's a good bench. I'm with you.
What if we traded? What if somehow we're magically able to get Reggie Bullock for a Thibault?
I like Bullock. I actually like Bullock a lot.
I would start him. Honestly, well, I don't know. Is Tucker going to be your three? Like, if you were somehow to get Bullock, would Tucker be on your bench?
I you know, because Tobias can't be a three because he can't guard threes.
So hold on. Speaking of Tobias, can we start something on this? Can we get some Tobias love? I know the contract's bad. That man is a top 10. He's top 10 in the league at his position, man. It's disrespectful. Just because his contract is terrible does not mean he's a bad player. And these
I agree with you. I got to tell you, I'm with you. I do. I agree with you, man.
He was our second best player in the playoffs.
I know. He was good. He did have good playoffs. I agree. Listen, he doesn't score enough for you, and I completely understand that fact, right? I get it.
It's just a fit. It's a fit thing.
Yes.
He needs the ball more, and it's hard when you have Harden and Embiid, which are ball dominant, and then he had to play a role where he was just a kind of a role player. I think on another team where he could be more ball dominant, you're talking about he's a mini Paul George.
Yes.
If you look at his stats, statistically speaking.
You can't mention his name because of how great a shooter and a distant shooter PG is. But no, but I get your point. I do. Listen, I don't disagree with it at all, man. DJ, great stuff, my brother. Way to geek out with me. I appreciate it. By the way, the Raptors, this is a good signing. And Otto Porter Jr. have reached an agreement on a 2-year deal.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. I like that.
I know that Porter gets that bad rap because of, you know, the obviously high draft pick, rough start to his career. He was not very good in Washington. He's found a role. Now, he's not the guy that a lot of people expected him to be, but he's found a role in the NBA, and I think that he can give you something off the bench.
Yes. Look at this trade.
Oh, we got a big one?
Portland offer. Anthony Simons, who just signed. Shaedon Sharp. Josh Hart. 3 first-round picks. 3 swaps from Portland for KD.
What is Portland doing?
Who did they just sign?
Anthony Simons.
No, but they signed somebody else.
I know Joe Ingles walked. Or was it Joe Ingles went? I forget. But either way, they make all these moves, right? They dump salary. They're able to get some guys, you know, off contract. Obviously, they trade CJ McCollum. It looks like they're going to start a rebuild. And then all of a sudden, now they're back into Kevin Durant territory? I don't know what Portland's doing.
Yeah. Dame. I know there was a lot of talk about Dame maybe joining forces in that sense. You know what's funny? You know what I don't get? Listen, Tyler Herro is a terrific shooter, and you know, listen, good ball player, right? Explosive six man. Who would you rather have, Tyler Herro or Maxey?
I would rather have Maxey.
So would I.
Both are limited defensively. I think Maxey's a far more willing defender. Like, Herro outright stinks defensively. I wouldn't say Maxey's great, but he's serviceable enough. But I think I get more with Maxey than I get with Herro.
And I think there's more upside because I know he's willing. And he's just a more explosive player. Now, while Hero's a better, more consistent shooter, Maxey's a more consistent offensive player. Way more explosive than Herro.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I would absolutely say.
I mean, it was all this, the Nets get Herro. I'm going, what am I missing?
Well, Hero's a good ball player. There's no doubt about it.
No, he is. But again, I'd rather have Maxey. And I'm not. That's not homerism.
No, I agree with you. I'd rather have Maxey. I'd rather have Scotty Barnes, too. And I know he's a young guy, just won Rookie of the Year.
I like Scotty Barnes a lot.
But I think I'd rather have him if we're talking about those trade packages.
Well, the thing with Scotty Barnes is, too, is he could do so much.
Right.
He's got size to him. He's a good athlete. I agree with you. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic Scott, hey.
Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's going on, my brother?
Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the bench and, you know, given Doc Rivers' strategy around, you know, new or younger guys. Like, do you think we're going to see some playing time out of guys like Bassey, Reed a little bit more, Springer, Milton? Like, what do you think the strategy there is going to be? Because obviously, we've got to work on the bench.
Well, but that's why you got all those pieces, right? So you got Melton, you got House, you add Tucker to the fray. So your backup big should probably be Reed, right? So I would expect, you know, Reed to get a little more playing time. We'll try to develop him. He's got to get a feel out there. Like, he really lacks a feel. He's a good athlete, but he's got to get a feel of the game. Because he can't be in there, and if there's a defensive mismatch, he's 3 fouls in 3 minutes, right? So, but yeah. He's the guy that you want to develop. Maybe Bassey. Well, Springer's a ways away, man. I think I still think he's a little bit of a way. He needs another year of development. And who else did you say?
Shake Milton.
He's staying. I'm done. He's back, but. You know what he's about now. My shake experiment's over. I hate his game. I'm sorry. I hate his game. There's nothing to his game. At this point, he should have developed into a better basketball player.
Yeah, I hear you. What about Korkmaz? I mean, he
stinks.
What are we doing with him?
See you. He's out. Get out. you know, those there's a reason why that bench that was there was bad. That's why you added, that's why what you've added is so important, that you don't need the back end, right? By adding House and by adding Melton and Tucker, look at those pieces you added.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need those guys anymore, the back end. Now, you want to have Reed, you still need a backup for Joe. And you'd hope that maybe Reed and or Bassey can give you something. But you can go small. Like, there's a lot you can do with Tucker, too. Like, you could go small and have Tucker play the five.
Yeah.
You got Tobias. He's still here. We'll see if there's another move. But there's I love where their bench is now compared to last year.
All right, good stuff. That's what I got for you. Thanks.
My man, have a great weekend, my brother. I look at their bench now, I go, it's a lot better than what it was. If KD, forget KD for 1 second, if KD doesn't come here and Harden comes back, and I'm not saying he's old James, old beard, but listen, if he can give you what he gave you during periods and bursts last year during games, and he can give you that consistently, I think you got a chance to win.
I mean, obviously with Kevin Durant, they're a title contender, but they are a better team now than they were 2 days ago. I just think there's no way that they're not.
I completely agree. I mean, we mentioned Niang just a little while ago. I mean, look at your bench now, depending on who you want to start, right? So let's just say, for argument's sake, I mean, who do you want to start? You want to start Tobias at the four?
Yeah. And then I guess probably Thibault at the three. I don't love it, but I think that's what I would do.
Or do you want Melton? And put Melton in the corner because he's knocked down an open three.
The thing with Melton, I wonder if he can be best utilized being explosive off the bench, you know, shooting a couple threes.
Right.
You know, be that athletic guy off the bench. You know what I mean? Like going up against the second unit and just being that spark plug, giving you a quick six.
Like here's who you would have, right? So if your four is Harden, Maxey, Harris, and Bede, you could go Tucker, right? And then you put Tucker in the corner because you know Tucker can hit an open three in the corner, right? You got House and you got Melton as your possibilities.
You know what it creates? Creates options.
Right.
Something they didn't have last year.
They had none. They had zero options last year. And That's exactly right, dude. Zero options. All right. So one of the things that we were talking about this week during Geek Week is the other day I was having a meltdown. Because it was before the free agency, and I should have known better that the NBA free agency is so entertaining, wildly entertaining. But we were so through it, and I'm like, and I'm looking, there's no Bryce, and I just felt like I just needed a football itch. Just a bit. I still got it, man. I still got the big-time football itch. And as we turn the page to July. July is upon us. The month of training camp, later in the month. And then it's just one more turn. And the next turn is football season. So we will turn again in August. And then the next turn is the season. Is that a twisted way to look at it?
Your calendar turn is like a little kid opening up that last door on the Christmas calendar.
Correct.
And like, oh, there's only one more sleep till
right,
Christmas.
Right, the Advent calendar. Yes. We have the Advent calendar. And that's I have my NFL. Yes. My NFL Advent calendar.
Unfortunately, theirs is 24 hours. Yours is 30 days.
All right, we're gonna mess around. Let me give you a guy, Bot.
Okay.
All right, name this player. I'll give you tight end, Chargers, and I'll just say 2010.
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, that was too easy for you. That was too easy.
He's an all-time great tight end.
I know, but listen, that's too easy. I'll give you this guy. Tackle.
Ooh.
Carolina Panthers off of the 2010 All-Pro runner-up.
Wow.
I'll give you the initials. JG.
JG. Oh, man.
Offensive tackle. Carolina.
And what year was it?
2010.
JG. Yeah, I think you got me on this one.
Not the bot.
Yeah, I think you got me on this
one. Not the bot. All right, let's think about it. All right?
Okay.
I trust the bot doesn't need any help, but the bot, sometimes there's a glitch. It takes a little time. Like you're looking for a signal. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The Wi-Fi is down here.
You're looking for a signal.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi's down.
So I'm sure the bot will be able to do it. All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. is how he reads. He's got a couple open lines on this incredible Friday of free agency. It's Cuz Radio, the bot in for the Judas. 97 people come in from California yesterday. So after Parks last night, we did, we all met up some, and I took them around town. So it's, you know, maybe it's a potential movie scout, right? So for something I wrote. So I was showing them around. In fact, my man Joe Marone was showing them around town. And then I started to, I met them up late. It was for dinner. So we went over to the Palizzi Social Club.
Okay.
In South Philly. So okay. I took them over there, and they loved it. Like, they were all, you know, and the place was packed, completely packed. And everybody was like, yeah, we're all bugging out. Nobody's working tomorrow. I love that.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Take that extra day down the shore, maybe Friday night or Thursday night.
Yes. Yes.
Watch the Phils.
What do you got planned for the holiday weekend? Anything?
Not much. Probably do something Monday with the in-laws, you know, my wife and I. But Saturday, Sunday, we're both working. So, yeah, I'll do something small. But Monday, we'll probably do something with the in-laws, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
My man Scotty's going to go hit Phillies tonight. That's a fun time. And then go down the shore.
I was thinking about that. You know, 6:05 start. I was thinking about that. Maybe trying to get some tickets.
A little fighting action. That'd be fun, man.
And you know, I don't have any like rooting interest for this team, but just because of how well they're run and how they're always good, I like watching the Cardinals. I don't like the Cardinals, but I enjoy watching good baseball teams.
Yeah, they're good. It's a good squad.
You know what I mean? And they're consistently good. They just overturn and change and overturn and change. And
I know.
They're good.
No, they're good. Zach LaVine has agreed to a max deal.
Now becomes that. Potential trade partner.
Zach LaVine. Max deal. Look at that. Interesting. I'm just refreshing as we're talking.
Yep, just constantly rechecking Twitter.
Yeah, I like Zach LaVine. I don't know if he's max, but I mean, in this league, he's a max.
I was on the train of trading for Zach LaVine last year, and if that including Ben Simmons, you know, prior to the whole playoff blow up, or I guess 2 years ago now, prior to that whole thing, if that included trading Ben Simmons, I probably would have considered it.
Yes, I agree. I'm completely with you. Ramona Shelburne will join us at 12:30.
Nice.
So we'll talk to Ramona, and Ramona's terrific, man. She's got her ear to the ground. When it comes to the league, she's all over it. I love Ramona. She's fantastic. So we're going to talk to Ramona coming up at 12:30. We'll get her thoughts on a potential landing spot for KD. Let's talk to some of our friends in the interim. Oh, by the way, Bot, did you get the player?
You know, here's the thing.
JG,
the
Carolina Panthers.
Our friends on the YouTube chat got it for me. They got me They got me before I could get it.
Before the bot.
Yes,
it was
great.
A glitch.
Great work by them. Somebody had it right away.
Jordan Gross.
Yes, it was great work by them.
All right, good work. Listen, there's a lot of good speed right there on the YouTube chat, man. Let's go to Bobby in Huntington Valley. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, my man.
What's going on, Bobby?
Does that Portland offer hurt us at all?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
It's a big package.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Josh Hart. I think Josh Hart's a good ball player. I don't know. I don't know. I still think the Sixers are competitive. And by the way, it all comes back to Durant anyway, right? Because if Durant says, I want to go to Phoenix, or I want to go to Portland, or I want to go to Philadelphia, all those packages are relatively similar, right? So ultimately, it's going to come down to KD, I think.
I think anything's possible, but the players do run the league.
Right. So and ultimately, if you want to come to Philadelphia, you know, I think there's a real chance.
And I wanted to pivot back to a couple days ago when I told you I was drooling for football. You mentioned the turn of the calendar.
Dude, why? How about it, Bob?
Because it's an event. You get up in the morning. I'm cracking a beer at 11 for a Sixers game, for a Flyers game. But we're ready to go. As soon as the alarm goes off on Sunday mornings, Monday nights, whatever it is. It makes the week.
It
well,
does.
It makes or breaks the week, depending on how they do. But
yeah.
Optimism starts when you open your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I love just seeing the helmets, right? Seeing the field. You turn the television on a Saturday and you see college football. And it's just like, oh my God.
You're in for a treat.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who. Football's the ones. I can watch any teams, right? So it doesn't matter. It's not just the Philadelphia thing. But something about football, man. Like, I can actually sit there and do nothing else but actually watch the game. Like, sometimes I'll watch other teams, baseball and all, but I have it on. I'm doing something else. I could be writing or whatever. But football, you can get locked in.
Oh, watching every player. Saturdays, you're watching who's going to be playing in a couple years.
Yes. Yes. It's the best, man. It's the best.
Yes, it is.
Good stuff, my brother. Turn in the calendar, Bob.
That's right.
See you, buddy. July is, we're in July. Love it. Hey, Bob.
Yes.
That news yesterday of UCLA and USC.
Yes.
I mean, so my guy came in from LA and right away he was like, yo, he's like, what in the world? He's an SC guy.
Okay.
In fact, his son went to SC Film School, and he's like, dude, are you kidding me?
You know what I was thinking about? You know how you always think about the morning thoughts and whatnot? My thought today, thinking about, you know, Southern California, L.A., it's beautiful year-round. You're playing 65-degree football in November. Can you imagine, not that they're bad teams, but could you imagine what it's going to be like the first time that USC or UCLA goes to Wisconsin in mid-November?
Yeah.
When it's 4 degrees out and snowing, where they come to Happy Valley. They're going to be like, oh, what is, and listen, I know that they've played in Corvallis and they've played in, you know, they've played at Oregon and they've played in the snow, Washington State.
Right.
So it's not like they don't, but I mean, it's going to be some of their
November Happy
games.
Valley, man.
Whew.
Now, I will say this, it's going to be entirely enjoyable having Penn State USC or Penn State UCLA.
I can't.
Plus you get Chip. I hate that stinking Chip.
But you know, it's funny. I have no reason to hate USC. I absolutely despise USC.
Do you really?
Yes. And I'm a huge, huge proponent of giving Reggie Bush's Heisman back. I you know, the USC Texas 05 game was one of the best games I've ever seen.
Oh my God, it was ridiculous.
But yeah, there's just, it's like, you know, the hate the face. It's like, I hate the team.
You hate the Trojans?
Yeah.
Dude, one of the great, I tell you, this story is a great story. So I go out, I'm doing a show with Howie at the other station.
Okay.
So he's got to go out. He's going to be in LA. And he's like, come on out to LA and I'll meet you. The Eagles were playing. Who are we playing? I think we're playing Seattle. And he's like, I'll meet you in L.A. You fly to L.A. I'll meet you down. I'm going to fly in from Seattle. And we'll do the show in L.A. So we do the show in L.A. So I get there early on. It was like a Tuesday. Actually, the next day. Tuesday or something. We get there on Monday. I think we did the show. I forget how it worked. But he needed coverage for the SC practice. He said, listen, you go. He goes, can you cover practice? I went, yeah. Right? So, you know, when you cover practice, all you do is you watch a practice. You just look in. You talk. In fact, you know who the coach was? He was an interim coach at the time. Was Ogeron. Eddie Ogeron.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So, I go to practice. And when you go to practice, you get, you know, credentialed.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave you a press credential. So mine said Eagles Scouting Department. Dude.
That's pretty cool. I hope you still have that one.
I did. I kept that. So it said Anthony Gargano, Eagles Scouting Department. And I wrote a report on practice that was like like a 12-page report that I wrote for him. Every player. And like I vetted it too. Like I talked to all the assistant coaches, you know, the whole thing. And I wrote my ass off on this scouting report.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
He goes, dude, that's a great report. He goes, that was a good report. I went, I'm for hire. It was funny.
Get a contract in place. Let's go.
Yeah. That, you know, unfortunately, you know, the scouts don't really make a lot of money either. Like, very little.
Right.
But that would be awesome. Let's go to Chris in Jenkintown. Chris, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Anthony, how are you doing?
Oh, what's up, Chris?
Happy 1st of July to you.
Yeah, baby. Happy 1st of July.
Couple questions, if I may. Let me ask you, this contract with Harden coming up, what would you be comfortable with?
I think you're going to be comfortable either way. I keep hearing 3 years, the 85 to 90 million range.
And you're comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. And the KD situation, let me ask you something. Is he a free agent?
No, he's not a free agent.
Anything. He's not.
What's that, buddy?
But he's not a free agent?
No.
So he could just move himself whenever he wants. I mean,
you know the league. I mean, was Harden a free agent when he came here? He announced to be traded, right?
Excuse me. The previous caller said the players run the league. I understand that. Okay, but how greedy are these mothers and fathers, like you call them? Okay, how about let me put it to you this way: how about if Patrick Mahomes had a year or two left in his deal, okay, and Miami was offering him $200 million a year? That's just something ridiculous. And he says, you know what? I'm going to Miami. Isn't that
well? But here's the thing, though: it's not about the money, right? Because the money is the same. The money's a max. You're making a max no matter where you play. This is a situation where he just doesn't want to play there.
Well, so he can just pick where he wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one with all the power. I mean, like this isn't a new phenomenon.
Well, it is in the NBA. I mean, it's not in the NBA. It's in every other sport.
Well, my point is, listen, if you tell me ethically, do I think it's right? No, but...
No,
you know,
of course not.
But it's what? I mean, this is how it's been.
I love basketball. I love basketball. That's why it's hurting me so bad and I'm frustrated.
But I got to ask you a question. Because
I'm sick and tired of these guys. Not only are they getting millions and millions of dollars, they're picking where they want to play now.
But they've done that. But that's not new.
Does it make it right?
But to me, it's irrelevant. This is the landscape.
Well,
I mean, really, I got to ask you a question because it sounded loaded.
Beautiful artistry goes down out the window when you say that stuff like that.
Really?
I would think. Yeah, to me it does.
To me it doesn't. I mean, I've already come to accepted that. I mean, you know.
Do I
think it's right? No, I don't think it's right. What?
It's a shame we got to accept things when we don't really have to.
Yeah, but again, I don't know why you're picking July 1st, 2022, when this is a long time coming. I mean, this isn't something new.
Well, let me ask you something. When you sign a contract, can you just not play? So, in other words, and I'm sorry I'm so anxious about it. In other words, when you sign a contract, you don't have to abide by that anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not what I'm saying. It's what it is.
Well, yes,
you know that.
No. Yes, sir. I'm asking you yes or no.
Obviously. This is the thing. Chris, I don't understand you. Like, this isn't a new phenomenon.
So
you just wake up.
Everybody's so happy, blah, blah, blah about it. I mean, I think it's going to be the ruinization of NBA. That's all I got to say.
But again, it's been going on. It's not new. I guess he hung up. Chris, I love you, but I don't understand. Listen, I intellectually get where you're coming from, but this isn't new. And it's not the ruination of the NBA because this is the NBA. And it's this, and everybody's so happy because they have a chance to land Durant, Chris. I don't get why you're upset. Now, flip side, God forbid, and this is very real, this is the flip side of it, that at some point, Joel Embiid, if they don't win, and he looks around and says, I can't win here, he could do the same thing to the Sixers. And I wouldn't like it. And there would be hypocrisy. Because I like the fact that Kevin Durant wants to leave and maybe come to the Sixers. But again, this is what the league is. I'm not telling you, I'm not making it a moral standpoint here. But the idea of the contract, I mean, you know, the sanctity of a contract, I mean, when's that been upheld?
Yeah, it's not a morality thing here, and I don't think it's
more of an ethical thing.
I don't even think that it's hypocrisy from you or anybody that says like, hey, it would really, really suck if Joel Embiid one day was like, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore, and you're going to trade me, and you're going to trade me to this team or that team. Of course, it would stink because, you know, that's the best player on this team. He may be one of the best. He's one of the best players in the league. But that is the dynamic of how the NBA works, and it is a player-driven league, and owners and teams listen to the players, and because they understand. And that's why I asked you about the whole, you know, does he have veto power? It's, you know, contractually, because it is, if he doesn't, if they trade him and they say, you know what, bleep it, we're trading you to the best team that we feel we get the best return back. You can do that, right? But then, as you said, with the players and the agents, why would anybody come play for you?
Well, that's the point. But that's why they have all the power of the league. It's a players' league.
Right. And
again, nobody's saying it's right, or I'm not making any kind of a big ethical statement. But, I mean, at this point, to wake up and go, oh, my God, let me cry foul. You know, not all franchises are equal. Doesn't make it right. But you, how many stars you think want to go to Memphis? Seriously.
Nobody wants to play in Memphis. They're a good team, but nobody wants to. If you have an option, you go to South Beach, you go to L.A., you go to New York.
You know, I mean, LeBron turned this thing into what it is. And then you have all your agents. It's why I told you before. This isn't like old school GM baseball, right? Where you're the GM of the Yankees and I'm the GM of the Phillies, and I call you up and go, I'm going to give you a player X, Y, and Z, and you give me player C, right? It doesn't exist like that. Now it's, especially when you're talking about big players, I have to get a third party to come in and affirm. Right? To vet, first of all the contracts. Then I got to find the agents that are willing to play ball. And then I got to figure out where my guys want to go. And I got to come to an agreement. That's why it's not even the GM. You have to hire a third-party firm to get this stuff done. That's where the league is. Now, you want to cry that the league is what it is? All right. But, you know, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. You're talking about billions of dollars that are in play with these players.
Sure.
And, you know, it's funny because right away Chris goes, well, they're greedy players. Like he said, are you comfortable with the Harden contract? Actually, yeah. Like 3 years, I don't know, $85 to $90 million in that market? Yeah. He could opt in and get $47 a year. How'd you like that, right? So 2 years for $47 apiece? I don't think so. But he's going to help you play ball and help you win. So, all right. And by the way, when we assess the word greed, remember one thing. Owners can afford to pay it and still their franchise goes up in value. They wouldn't be paying this if they couldn't afford it. Right or wrong, Bot?
No, you're right. It's 100% correct. Because how many times do you look at a guy, like take Jeffrey Lurie, for example. Totally different league, but take Jeffrey Lurie, for example. The value of which the Eagles are at now compared to what he bought them at in, the 90s?
Yeah.
I mean, massive increase.
$240
million. Yeah. And they're a plus billion dollar team now, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the value always goes up.
Correct.
You know, the Sixers' value has gone up since this current, ownership group has purchased them. You're going to make money on, most of the time, you're going to make money on your franchise purchase. And that's why the salary cap keeps going up. They get the TV deals. You have the ability to pay guys more and more money. And, and that's why when we were talking about the contracts and you've got guys making $20, $25 million a year, are they $20, $25 million a year players? Sometimes no, but that's what the market dictates.
Yeah. It's what it is. I got to deal in reality, and this is the reality of the league. And, right now we parcel it where it's through the prism of Sixer fans. Coming up, we'll talk to Ramon.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
75 The Fanatic.
Ona Shelburne from ESPN. She's fantastic. Does an incredible job covering the league. And at some point, it's funny. I would love to talk to Chris and bat this out some more. I think it's a fascinating discussion. If it affects the way you follow the league, it doesn't really affect the way I follow the league. I mean, I look at it and go, that's how it's run. So let's discuss it. All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio with the Bot today is in for the Junis, and we are all agog over the future of one Kevin Durant and whether or not there's an outside chance that, maybe, just maybe, the Sixers can land him. Obviously, Phoenix is the favorite, and there's a host of other teams that are going to make a play for him. Without a doubt, and don't forget our 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by the great people at Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. Hey, to break it all down, I love our next guest's work. She is amazing. She is so plugged in. She's terrific when it comes to the NBA and all sports. With the NBA, she knows inside and out and all the participants. Very excited from ESPN. Ramona Shelburne joining us. Ramona, how are you?
I'm good. Like, I have it's an interesting time for me because I had, I was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Now I have a 3-week-old. Right? So we were watching all the stuff and I'm on that stage where I get a bunch of calls and texts, and I've mostly been ignoring NBA stuff while I'm out on leave for another couple weeks here, but like yesterday was so wild and crazy, I couldn't help it. I was like, I'm supposed to be out on leave, but this, I said to all my producers, I was like, dude, I don't even know if I'm legally allowed to work right now, but like, I feel like it because that was crazy yesterday.
It was insane. And you're like Al Pacino. They pull me back in. I can't even enjoy my maternity leave.
NBA is the best, man. Like, that was awesome yesterday with all that, right? Like, an hour before the trade, an hour before free agency started, we were like, dang, man. Because, you know, the truth is, I'm never really off, right? Like, I still call people.
Right.
I still talk to people. But it's different, like, when you can choose, like, you're just going to dip your toe in the water. You're like, oh, I'll take the call right now. Nah, I'll get him after I take a nap. Oh, I got to be on TV tomorrow. Nah, just, to, you know, text message, whatever, right? Yesterday was like, dang, that was awesome. That's why the NBA is the best. I know people love football, but the NBA is the best when it comes to drama.
It is. Well, I was just talking about it. I mean, you know, it's amazing. When Kyrie opts back in, right, to Brooklyn, you go, oh, okay, well, you know, I guess they're going to give him another shot. And then KD with the bombshell, oh, my God. I was like, what?
And you know what's crazy is like it's you know why it's the best, Anthony? It's because of the drama and the personalities involved.
Yes.
It's not just that, like, Kevin Durant, one of the top two or three players in the league, okay? So I think we can pretty much agree that he's definitely top three, right? I mean, it's Giannis, KD, Embiid. Maybe you put Jokic in that conversation, but, like, it's those guys. For him to ask for a trade, and my immediate thought, and I've, you know, because I've talked to people all over the league anyway, so I knew this is a possibility, but, like, when he actually did it, I was like, oh, my God, he actually did it. But then the question was he doing it to get away from Kyrie and the Nets, or is he doing it to get away from the Nets, right? Is there a relationship drama between him and Kyrie? Because that has kind of been the story of Kevin Durant's last 3-4 years, is that he and Kyrie are buddies. That's why he wanted to play with him in Brooklyn. He wanted to play with his friends. I go all the way back to Kevin before the 2012 Olympics, no, 2016 Olympics. And I remember they were all, you know, he and DeAndre were friends. I was covering Team USA in Vegas. And Kevin would always talk about wanting to play on a team with his friends. He's never really gotten to do that. And the, you know, playing with the Warriors, he was joining somebody else's team. He was friends with Draymond, but it wasn't the same as, like, his friends. And his friends that he made through Team USA on that cruise boat in the Rio de Janeiro harbor. They lived on that big boat.
Yes.
They didn't want to stay in the athlete village. That's where they all got so close. And it's just kind of amazing to see how all that stuff plays out over the last 5-6 years of, like, is the friendship good? Is it a basketball issue? Is it, you know, like, it's not just, like, that's why the NBA is so fantastic, because it's about the people and the personalities involved.
So when you know KD, and he's such an interesting dude, and
I like Kevin, by the way. Full disclosure, I like him, because I think he's a good human being, and sensitive, and he's somebody you can talk to, right? Whereas a lot of people, I feel like there's a wall there. There's no wall with Kevin.
You know what I've always liked about him too is that he's very thoughtful when he speaks.
Yeah,
and he talks about the game. Like, first of all, He's a brilliant basketball mind, right? Like, you know, I remember him talking about the Sixers, and really, and it was funny because he goes, you know, these guys, they don't want to play defense after 3 or 4 dribbles, 3 or 4 passes. Yeah. They struggle with transition defense. Like, he broke the game down from a coach's standpoint. And so I guess I was curious, like, when you try to get into his mind, what situation really would work for him, do you think? And obviously, here, everybody's wild wondering, you know, could you imagine him teaming up with Embiid and back with James?
Oh, my God. Yeah, look, I can't see Brooklyn trading him to a rival. Like, I know Brooklyn's going to go with whatever the best package they can get for him is. Yes, that's a goal. But, like, can you really see him? I mean, like, can you see Brooklyn trade him to the Knicks? No. Can you see Brooklyn trade him to the Sixers? What are you guys, an hour and a half away, right?
It's right.
An hour and a half drive, and you're one of the main rivals in the Eastern Conference. Like, generally speaking, you don't see trades like that. Now, I know Ben Simmons and James Harden, but that's a whole different story, okay?
Right.
This is Kevin freaking Durant. Like, this is the guy that you put, and your team becomes a championship contender. So, if I'm Brooklyn, I don't want to play that guy next year. I don't want to play that guy for the next 4 years in my conference. So that's just my general, and that based on covering the NBA for 20 years, you know, like that's
no, no. And listen, I think you're spot on. And normally you would want to, you know, trade him to the West, and
Western
that would be like Phoenix or But yeah. I got one thing though because know this better than anybody because you're so deep into this league. And I was just having a conversation with one of the callers about this and the power in which the players wield, right? And look, KD is a has a minority stake of the Philadelphia Union soccer team. He is a, an investment partner with Michael Rubin, who just recently gave up his stake in the Sixers. Very close to the people. He loves Joel. The Sixers do have a rising star in Tyrese, who I love and would never want to get rid of unless it's for a KD. You know, is it possible that if KD wanted to really come here, that, you know, Brooklyn goes, look, we're in rebuild mode anyway. By the time we get back to contention, the Sixers' run will presumably be over.
So here's what I think is really possible, okay? I don't see them, I don't see the Sixers with enough to get Kevin. I just, like, they want so much for him. Plus, the, one of the all-stars you'd be theoretically offering would be James, who they just had that fallout with, right? Because you're not getting Joel. Like, they're not trading Joel.
No, it would be Maxie, Tobias, Matisse. I mean, that would be the package.
Yeah, that would be the package. And you don't have as many draft picks, but I as they probably want. Like, they want to restock the draft picks.
Right.
You know, like, I think that the deal that you want to look at of, like, what they want and what they want to top, frankly, is the Paul George deal with Oklahoma City. 5 first-round picks, a great young player who can develop. That was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that. Some pick swaps, and veteran to make the money work. Now, the Sixers have a lot of that, but they just don't have enough. I think there's other teams that have more. There's other teams that have more. But I'm telling you, covering this league, just the calls that I was making that I probably shouldn't be making yesterday, but I was too into it, right? I was like, I gotta find out what's going on. I think there's going to be a lot here where there's 3-team deal constructions. There's a lot of teams that are they're trying to get in on side deals here, right? Like, there's going to be a lot of player movement as every team tries to position itself with the best offers here, right? So there can be some really interesting side deals. Like, talk about a team like Oklahoma City with all that cap space that can absorb a bad contract. Even a Utah where they have 2 good young players, Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, right, who may or may not be in trade conversations all around the league. Both of them are, obviously.
Right.
The question is whether they decide to do anything. Like, those teams can get involved here to help sweeten a package. And that's where I think you need to look. I'm trying to point you in the right directions, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
I feel you.
Miami. Like, I don't think Miami has enough right now. I think the Phoenix package is theoretically better, although I still think that Kevin Durant gets more than what what we were talking about with the Phoenix offer, right? I still think when you got a player like Kevin Durant and there's a bidding war, like, there's going to be some teams that are doing a lot to maximize their offer. Like, look at Miami. Tyler Hero, not going to get it done. Good young player, not going to get it done. Maxie, like, as you said, really good young player, not going to get done. You need more. So how do you position yourself to get more?
You have a Donovan Mitchell as a centerpiece, right?
Yeah, or let's say, I mean, even if you're Miami, like, how do you get more out of that? I think a team like New Orleans with a lot of good young players that's trying to get over the hump, that's clearly trying to win, look at that kind of team to be involved.
Right,
like, there's just a lot that's going to be connected to this. And I love it because the NBA and the dominoes start falling and they fall fast. And but one thing I will say, I don't think Brooklyn's trying to rebuild. I don't think Brooklyn's trying to tear it down. I think they're trying to win because they don't have the draft picks, and everything I know about that franchise, because we cover that whole league, right? They really believe that this is a culture reset, and it's not tear it down to the studs and rebuild the house. It's like hire a new interior decorator. You got
a house,
and let's just put some new furniture in there. Let's just put some new, let's just refresh everything. I think the history of trades in this league is when you have a superstar of this caliber, and really, this is probably the biggest name you've seen traded. If they do go through with the trade, because they don't have to, let's remind people of that.
Right.
You can get a lot for him. This is not trading him with 1 year left on his deal. This is not, oh, he won't re-sign there. He's got 4 years left on his deal. Like, this is a really...
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we're talking to the great Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Where does Kyrie and now, you know, the Laker thing back alive there? Where does that fit into the equation?
I mean, I think I'm getting prepared to cover Kyrie in L.A. next year. Let's put it that way.
I think
I think where there's a will, there's a way. And I think he certainly got the will.
Right.
I mean, look, Ky wants to be where he's wanted. LeBron has played with him before. He knows what's up, right? I don't know how they get it done. I don't know if Westbrook's involved in that. If I was Brooklyn, I would say no to the Westbrook thing. You know,
right.
You don't need to do that. But I don't think Kyrie's back in Brooklyn next year. I whether it's by a trade or a buyout or something like that, I just don't see him being part of whatever culture rebuild they're going to do.
So what happened? There's no way, because there was that one story that, you know, KD and Kyrie wind up somehow with the Lakers, which I don't know how that could be possible.
I'll see that.
Yeah, that seemed kind of out there. So you think Phoenix is probably the
yeah, probably the right? Like, they have the inside track just because they clearly, Kevin would like to go there. They're a good team. They've got the right kind of financial structure and the right young players with Aiden, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. But I'm with Bobby Marks on this. He's been saying this on TV. Like, you got to get more for KD.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Bridges is a good young player, but he's a role player, okay?
Right.
Aiden, former number one overall pick, but not seen as a guy who's, like, face of the franchise. That's not stepping into KD's shoes.
Right.
And Cam Johnson, good young player, but also, I mean, not a face of the franchise kind of player. Like, you got to get an all-star, man. You got to get somebody who's accomplished and done. So if I'm Phoenix, like, you know, I still think there's just more to be done. And I think there's other teams out there. Like, look at Minnesota, look at Denver. There's just a lot of other options here. And if I'm Brooklyn, I'm in no hurry. I don't make a move unless I feel like I'm winning the trade. And I always have this say, I'm a poker player. I don't know if you play too. You play Hold'em or something, right? Like, when you're going all in, you want to be the one going all in, not calling y'all in. Right?
Right. Yes.
You know? Like, if you have to think about it, if somebody goes, I'm all in, and you have to think about it, that means that you're not making a move, right? Like, you're reacting to somebody else's move. So if I'm Brooklyn, I take that approach. Like, I'm going all in. I'm not calling somebody else's offer here. I'm not responding to somebody else's situation. You got all summer. All summer, all off season. And, you know, I tweeted this yesterday when I was in the middle of this, because I've been thinking this the whole time. 2007, Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant, went on every radio station in L.A. and did some national media interviews. Any place that had a microphone, he was talking into it. He said, I want to be traded. I don't care where you trade me. You could trade me to Pluto. I just don't want to be here anymore. The Lakers said, okay, we'll look around. They looked around. They called the Chicago Bulls. There was a package. They said, it's not good enough for Kobe. And I remember standing there on the day of training camp, out front, and we didn't know if he was going to show up, and that guy showed up, and he played, won the MVP that year. The Lakers went to the finals.
my God.
Man.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to trade him. Like, they probably will, but you don't have to unless you like what you are being offered. And so I think there's a lot more twists and turns to this thing before it's all said and done.
Yeah. And what do you think happens to the pieces in Utah? Like, the Donovan Mitchell thing is fascinating, too, because you're talking about a real difference maker.
Yeah, with a lot of years left on his contract, too.
Yeah.
You know, and now they have a new coach. By the way, Will Hardy's fantastic. Like, I know people are like, oh, wow, he's 34 and all that. But he's a guy, when he was a young assistant in San Antonio, everybody said, oh, man, Will Hardy's going to be a head coach one day.
Right.
Just one of those guys who's sort of been marked for his success. Willie Green was another one. When he was on the Warriors bench, everybody said, oh, Willie Green's going to be a head coach. Like, he's be great.
Yeah.
So you just, like, they got a really good young head coach. They have a team that, you know, kind of topped out. But I'm one of those where you don't trade a superstar unless you really feel like you're winning the deal. Like, if you're going all in, right? You don't want to be calling somebody else all in. You want to, like, we don't want that Jimmy Butler in Minnesota situation.
Right.
So I think Utah takes a breath. They take their time. I still think one or both of them can move this offseason, but there could be a little recalibration now after all the events of this last week.
So, the last thing, we so appreciate your time. Ramona Shelburne, new mom. I mean, does it get cooler than you, by the way? Poker player, NBA savant. I mean, seriously, it doesn't get... Nobody's,
you know what I'm doing right now?
What are you doing?
I have older sons. I dropped him off in the parking lot at preschool, and then I realized that when you asked me, I was like, okay, this is my, like, 1 hour that I get out of the house away from the baby, so I enjoy that hour, man. Okay, like I'm out, like, ooh, mommy gets to go drive someplace. And so I'm out, and I forgot my headphones to do this interview in the car. So I was like, yeah, I'll just sit in the parking lot. We'll just talk on the phone in the parking lot because I got my hour.
And I love you. You are the coolest, man. You are the coolest. So what do you think of what do you expect from Harden next year? And, you know James well. What do you expect from him? And what do you expect? What do you think of the Sixers? I mean, they've added their bench. What's your outlook?
Look, I am much higher on the Sixers, like, today than I was at the end of the season, which is normal, right, after you flame out like they did in the playoffs, right? I think James showed you something by the way he handled his contract situation. Because at the end of the season, there was some... let me choose my words carefully, okay? There was some debate as to how the Sixers were going to play this and how he was going to play this, right? Like, James obviously wanted a full max, you know, everything, right. You know, and that big contract that would have really encumbered the franchise, not just this year, but for years and years. And I think there was some sense of, like, will the Sixers even offer an extension? Would they just say, pick up your player option and let's prove it? Because last year, you know, we didn't see enough to say, okay, you're going to, you know, $250 million contract. That's a pretty big investment in somebody, right? Especially somebody as old as he is. And he said on the last night of the season, I'll do what I can to help this team. And I was wondering how all those dominoes would fall, because when you're a player of James's age, like, this is your last big contract. Whatever you do now is your last big contract. And for him to actually follow through, decline that $47 million, give them the opportunity to sign PJ, which, I mean, Joel Embiid is so funny. He, like, called, I want to play with Jimmy again. I want to play with PJ again, right? Like, I don't know why we ever traded Jimmy, right? Or we let Jimmy go. He flat out said, I've never played with a guy like PJ. He's exactly what we need. And they went out and got him for him. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do for your franchise player. And James helped facilitate that. So that showed me something. I don't know how that played in Philly, but that showed
me
something.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Right? Like, I mean,
Totally. I said the same thing.
I want to win.
Yeah. To me, that was, look, Westbrook didn't. All those guys, they opted. They took the money, right? But Harden said, look, I'm committed to being here and committed to wanting to win. And I thought that was a big move.
Yeah, and I don't know if I said it on your show, if I just said it on the NBA Today, it all blends together to me at this point, right? Because it was a couple months ago. But, like, at the end of the season, you know, in terms of talking about what the Sixers were going to do, this was something that I had heard, you know, what they were going to try to make happen, of, like, to get James to take a lesser deal, like a Chris Paul type of deal, not take up his option, give them some flexibility. And I remember saying it out loud, and people thought I was crazy, but I was like, if they can convince James to do that, that is saying something, not just on their end, but on his end. So I usually take people at their actions, not their words. You know, words don't mean anything. You saw James's exit from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can say whatever you want, but he still wanted to go. The actions there are a good sign. And if he can get himself in really good shape, and their plan was always, give them a whole year together, training camp to get right.
Right.
Whole year in doc system. Everybody gets familiar with each other. They surround them with some more shooters. They add a tough guy like PJ. Like, that is really what they thought was going to be their pathway to success. And I don't know. Let's see it. Like, so far, the actions have been speaking well.
I like it. I like it a lot. And you're the greatest. We love you. Everybody has to make sure they read, follow, and watch Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. She's the greatest. Listen, I love you. God bless the baby.
I only said yes because it's you, by the way. It's only because you're my guy. So, like, I said, you hit me. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. That's okay.
I mean, listen, I adore you. I just think you're amazing. And first of all, you're so good at your job, and You're so thoughtful. I love your work, and you know that it's the feeling. I'm so grateful. So
all the good stuff, right?
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, it's cool. Have a blessed 4th, you and the family. All right, we love you.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
See, is the great Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, who really is terrific. I do. She's a great writer too, man. You read her stuff, man. She's strong. Anyway, we'll come back. We still got an hour to hang out, which I'm excited about. Let's go all of our calls, all of our friends, as we go into the holiday weekend, as we hang out right here on 97.
Holiday weekend almost here.
I think it is. I think it's already started. I think there's more people probably down shore than there is working right now. And so I raised them a glass. Salute to everybody. That's awesome. So I hope you enjoyed Ramona. She's fantastic. I've go back with Ramona for a bit, and I love her work. And she's very plugged into a lot of the players. And, so it sounds like it's probably, they don't probably have enough to get it done. But, you know, I know the Sixers are trying, and they're doing their due diligence. And it's interesting to see how they're going to navigate this thing. Because it feels like that Phoenix isn't enough for it. Like, Phoenix doesn't have enough for him. Well, which means there's going to be multiple teams. But.
Yeah, I think you're going to see multiple teams right into the end. Or multiple teams.
Well, I mean, in the deal. I'm sorry.
I got you. You mean a multi-team deal. I think you're probably, it may have to. And the thing with the 3-team deal, the 4-team deal, everybody does these trade machines or whatever they're called. And somebody gets the raw end of the deal in every one. And I'm like, that doesn't work in real life. You're not making that trade because Utah doesn't want 4 bench players. You know what I mean? Like, so these teams are going to have to get creative to work around the cap and the money and all that. But it's certainly feasible still.
I think so. I mean, I hope so. I mean, listen, I get the idea that I found it interesting that she said that Brooklyn is not in tear it down mode.
Yeah, I which is weird because I don't know if they have any I don't know if they have any play left. I don't know if they have any run. You know, obviously Kyrie's back and they've got Simmons, but
yeah, apparently Kyrie that she said that she's going to be covered Kyrie with the Lakers
right,
next year.
Exactly. So if you trade Kyrie and you trade Durant, you're left with Simmons and guys.
Wait, dude. The greatest thing about this is the only way to get Kyrie is if they move Westbrook, right?
Yes.
So,
oh my goodness.
You're going to have Westbrook and Simmons?
That could be the worst shooting team ever.
I mean, you want to talk about, give me a new house, all right? Because I got news for you. Move aside Paparone builders. You would have Westbrook Simmons builders. You want to talk about bricklaying.
That's
oh,
brutal.
Oh, my God. Need more bricks than in Society Hill, Philadelphia.
So I got a question if that's the case. Who's on ball?
Probably Westbrook.
Westbrook, right?
Yeah.
So what is Simmons can't play off ball. Unless he's playing like a dunker spot.
Right. I mean, I guess they would try to just run, right? The one thing they would be able to do.
Their transition will be strong.
Is just try to run you to death.
Yeah.
And they lost Bruce Brown, too.
Yes.
Who would they have? It was Curry. So they would have Curry. Let's say they get Westbrook, and I don't know what else they get in that deal. And you would have Curry, Simmons.
When it comes to the Lakers, the name that always gets thrown out is Horton Tucker.
Right.
He's like in every single trade package they ever put together.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Is he a starter?
I think he's slop, but whatever.
Might have to be on that team.
I mean, that's just Slop City, cuz. You have Lob City. That's Slop City. That squad. Are you kidding me? That would be worth season tickets see Westbrook and Simmons play together.
You tuning into Slop City tonight? Oh, yeah. You know I'm locked in.
I would be locked in to see that disaster. Oh, my God. But again, then it gets back to who, you know, who does he play? Like, where does he go? Where do they trade him to? I mean, that's absolutely wild.
Yeah, I don't know. The Nets, to say they're not in a teardown mode is like so strange to me, because if your return is Westbrook and whatever you can get for KD, that seems to be teardown mode to me.
Yeah, the other thing that I couldn't convince her, and listen, I may, and maybe it's my own love for the kid, but I mean, she even downplayed Maxey. She's like, obviously an up-and-coming player and all. But, like, I think he's a budding star. Now, I don't know. Maybe I am a little overrating him a little bit. But I think Maxey, anybody that could score in bunches that fast and improved his shot in 1 year and is that young, I mean, how is he not a budding star?
I think that we have a tendency in this city to go one of two ways, where we vastly overrate somebody or we vastly hate somebody. You know, and there's not a lot of middle ground. I think that we're not vastly overrating Tyrese Maxey. I think we're appropriately rating Tyrese Maxey. We're not saying, you know, the next Allen Iverson. We're not saying that, you know, he's even John Morant or anybody, you know, any of the guys that are currently playing. Use the word star. I think that could be appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's in the same, like, he could be in that, you know, in that same vein as a Ja Light type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, fast, could score in bunches. I mean, let's see it. It's interesting. All right, let's get to the phone line. So to our friend Stevie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Stevie.
Hey, Slop City.
Are you in on Slop City?
Yeah. I would buy tickets to that. I would do that. Well, hey, what's going on, man?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm the Fanatic.
How's everything?
Good, baby. How you feeling, Stevie?
I'm all right, man. What's up, Bot? How you doing, man?
What's up, Steve?
Bot's done a nice job this week.
Yeah, no, he has. first things first, man. Congrats, you know, and hustle, man. Excellent performance. I loved it. You were natural. You know what I'm saying? You killed it.
Ah, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it was a great movie, man, but... So look, man, I'm coming back home, right? And I'm explaining what I mean by that. 2 years ago, 2020, I told you I was going to Okie State. You know what I'm saying? Oklahoma.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. So look, that was around the time the whole, you know, pandemic and stuff. So like, I did go and everything, and it was, you know, with, you know, life situations and just other problems and all that chaotic stuff, I had to withdraw, you know, come back home. One of the good things out there, though, one of my classes was in the Boone Pickett Stadium in one of the suites.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, they had to, like, move things around, everything. So one of my classes was there, so that was cool, you know.
That had to be dynamite, man. Yeah, I'm sorry you had to come home, but, you know, listen, I'm glad you're coming home safe. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. So you know, these 2 years I've been working and stuff, but... I'm not done with school. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to finish. So I got accepted to Temple University.
Oh, terrific!
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I should have went there the first place, but it doesn't matter. I'm still, you know, I'm still going this fall semester and stuff, doing media studies and production, man. Which is always my thing.
Oh, good for you! That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm also going to play some lags here. You know what I mean? Try for the team and get on there.
Good. Man, you got to keep me posted on everything, okay?
Yeah, I definitely will, man. That's why I love calling into the show. Man, talking to you, chopping up with everybody.
We love it. And we root for our guys. You know that.
Yes, exactly. I love that, man. Then my sister's point, well, not even a point, just I like the trades. I like the trades, and what I would like even more is to get past the second round. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
That's really the major goal. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see how to go with it and stuff. But
listen, I like the bench, and I do think that and welcome home, my brother. Welcome home, Stevie. Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
I love the bench. I love, what he's done so far. The moves are good, you know. And I think it comes back to Harden and his willingness to win. The one thing you can't say, and I think this goes a long way, is that he didn't, he didn't take the money. $47 million. Now, listen, they're going to make it up to him and they'll get his deal. But look, that's impressive. He wants to win. They were able to come and get Tucker, right? Like, that was a big piece. And they know they had to make room for him. And so, like, listen, he helped the cause. Brendan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Brend.
Yo, cuz.
What's happening, Brent?
Happy Friday to you, guys.
Happy Friday to you, my brother.
Hey, yeah, hopefully everybody's head down the shore, already down there sipping on a cold one, enjoying themselves. Great interview with Ramona, man. She's the best. I love her.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah, it's nice to have this NBA drama to kind of get us through this like light period.
Dude, I couldn't agree with you. Like, I was going out of my skin.
I know.
Football the other day. Like, I need football.
I'm watching like USFL and
yes,
wherever I can get my picks, But yeah, I called earlier to talk about, the NBA players or players in general and the amount of money they make and everything like that. And that always is kind of bugs me a little bit. You know what I mean? Because the way I look at it is people got to look at it like a percentage thing. You know what I mean? When you look at all the people who own sports franchises in the country, these people are all amongst the richest people in their sect, that exist basically. They're billionaires. You know what I mean? So
right.
The amount of money that the athlete is making off, doing most of the work, on the field or surface of play is compensatory to the amount of money that the owner is making in the equation. It's kind of, if you did like an actual equation on it, you would probably see that the amount of money for like my boss makes and the amount of money that I make are very similar to the amount of space between the NBA owners and the NBA player. So I don't know. It kind of just gets on my nerves.
Yeah. And listen, I know that caller. I actually love him. His name's Chris in Jenkintown. And I've talked to Chris forever. But I do think, and this is where you and I agree, in that, you can't look at it through the realm of finances, right? Like,
exactly.
It is big business. And listen, who can relate to $251 million max deals? Like,
right.
None of this, we can't relate to any of this sort of thing. And
but if they published what the owners made when they published the amount of money that
right.
Harden's getting,
exactly,
deal,
and
it would make it a little more palatable.
Right. Well, even that, like, with all that, it's such a distant world.
Sure. No,
economically, from every person, right? Like, we can't imagine that stuff. So I mean, for us, it's only germane because of the salary cap. Otherwise, none of it really matters, right? If not for the salary cap, what do we really care about any kind of salaries?
I just want to win.
Right, exactly. And then when it comes to team building. So I think, this whole concept of, the player has this duty and you signed the contract and this and that. Listen, the owners, both sides take advantage of each other, and the fan gets it all the time in the ear, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, I don't bat an eyelash, and I just hope it doesn't happen where Joel Embiid someday says, I want out.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's all we can hope for. We can hope, with the additions that they made and, bringing in a guy like Tucker, who Embiid even asked for, hopefully it makes him happy, and hopefully, we can see something real special this fall. But I think, like you have said and many people have said, it all relies on the beard. You know, if he can, you know, regain some of that, you know, spurt or your adjust his game in like more of a Chris Paul style to be like more of a facilitator, yes, more of a mid range, you know, that's what it's going to come down to, I think, frankly.
I'm with you, man. I'm completely with you, brother. Good stuff, buddy.
We'll take it easy.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it. Enjoy it, man. Have a great one. And you know, it's funny because if I got involved in all that minutia of salary and, first of all, in this day and age, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. You know, we talked about it in the grand scope of teachers, right? And how they are grossly underpaid. And we talk about it, you know, with what we need in society. I can't get that discussion. Otherwise, it just ruins everything for you. I mean, if I want to bemoan what the entertainment industry amasses, I mean, that's what it is. You know, there's a reason why we all love it. Sports blew up because we all love it for good reason. And it's no different than, you know, Top Gun 2 that pulls in $1 billion over the summer. Because people go, I love movies. Enough people go watch it. So what happens? Tom Cruise is going to make a lot of money. And he should, because it's a percentage of what's being generated. Now, if you want to tell me we have our, you know, we're all screwed up in our value system and we overvalue entertainment, all right, well, that's another discussion. And also what those who make and generate that kind of revenue should do more and give them back, you know. I mean, look, this is why I love what LeBron did and built a real school. Not an academy, a basketball school. He built a real school. So, you know, I respect that. Otherwise, you know, if we were involved, if that was the whole conversation, which it ruined it for Chris. And I don't want it to ruin it, Bot.
I feel you. By the way, we got a little news.
Oh,
trade to report.
Hold on. Zuli.
Yes.
Zuli. What's an update?
Anthony.
NBA free agency.
We have a trade to report. The Atlanta Hawks, according to Woj, are sending Kevin Huerter to Sacramento in exchange for Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless, and a future first-round pick.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are they up to, the Hawks?
They got one
what
more.
What are they up to?
One more big move in them?
I do, because Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, we talked about that, pairing those two. First of all, were you shocked? I thought they could have got more for DeJounte Murray.
I thought they could have gotten more for DeJounte Murray, too. I think the Spurs almost jumped to conclusions a little bit, you know, especially with this KD stuff going on now. I think they could have gotten
more.
Same
thing. You could get a three-way deal going on if you're San Antonio. Murray's a big chip.
Sure. You could find a way to move. If you move Murray in a three-way deal to Brooklyn and KD goes to Atlanta,
right. Yeah,
and you could get a ransom for that return.
Exactly. I thought the same thing. I looked at it and went, that didn't make sense to me. That you would go out and you would move him, you would move Murray. I mean, that package, like, eh, to that package. Weird. All right, I got another Ask the Bot.
Okay.
All right? Let's go. I got to figure out a good year to try to stab you. The Bot, we're going to go back to football, and I'm going to hit you with 2004.
Okay.
Who led the NFC in receiving yards?
2004.
And you ready?
Yes.
His initials, MM.
Oh, I actually do know who this is.
Oh,
now that you gave me the initials. Is it Musha Muhammad?
Yes! The Bot!
That team was like sneaky. Well, I'm not sneaky. They went to the Super Bowl.
Right, before, well, they shouldn't have.
Or no, that was 03 they went. Yeah. Following year, they were sneaky good offensively.
Yeah, and by the way, they should have gone to the Super Bowl, as you know.
Well, I know. You can't score 3 points in an NFC Championship game. That one kills me. I know people talk about Tampa Bay, That one kills me.
Listen, dude. But that was bad. It really was bad. Because what happened with the 4th-and-26 game the week before was like, oh, my God, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Right? We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
They should have lost the game. Right? Like, that was a game you got to lose.
Right. Yeah, you're down to your final play. A miracle play happens.
And somehow you can get a first down. Like, what? 4th-and-26? That should have been, you know, Super Bowl. And then you lose to that team. That team stinks. And that freaking Cimino, Deshaun Foster, put his footprint on his back, right on his chest.
They marched on the opening drive, too, didn't they? Got settled for three, and then nothing happened.
Yeah,
that one hurt me so bad.
That hurt bad, but, dude, there was nothing like the Tampa game. The Tampa game, I still have scars. Even after the Super Bowl, the Tampa game is still a wound. Every once in a while, it just comes open and fills with pus.
I think Rondé Barber's still going, streaking down the sideline off 17 slant passes in a row.
Are you ready? I want to give you a couple more guys. Left tackle, all pro, Seattle.
Which year is this?
This is 04.
04?
Initials WJ.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of somebody else. WJ.
WJ. Seattle.
I'm going to...
Lockdown tackle.
Lockdown tackle. Yeah, I don't think I got this one.
The bot? There's no way there's a glitch in the bot.
Stumped.
No, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Left tackle.
No way.
I'll
give you 3 seconds.
Is this guy a Hall of Famer?
3 seconds. 3, 2.
I don't remember what his last name is. It's Walter.
Yes!
I don't remember what his last. Is it Jones or Johnson?
Yes!
I forget. Jameson.
Walter Jones.
Is it Jones?
Bot's got it. He's just slow today.
It's a little slow today.
It's a connection.
It's a holiday Friday.
It's a connection. The bot still lives.
Everything's running slow. I knew Walter
Jones.
I couldn't think of the last
geek
name.
Geek Out Week. Geek Week is alive, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe it. Walter Jones. Hey, I got a question for you, Bot. And then we're going to have a big last segment with all kinds of all-star callers. But what happens when the top of your iPhone is unresponsive?
Just the top?
Just the top.
So, like, you can't push, like, the message button or anything?
No, like, the very top. Right, I can't, like, if I get, like, I can't access... Like, I have a tough time accessing, like, Instagram or, like, you know, if it comes up, a message comes up, you can tap on it. But it's just the top. The rest of it works.
That's weird. That's really, really, I'm trying to, like, compare it to my phone right now. Right? I'm looking at my phone and trying to see how that happens. And, man, I don't even know. That's very, very weird. You might end up having to go to the Apple store.
The very top.
Yeah.
It just deadly. The top, like literally the eighth of an inch, the top across the top of the phone.
Can you, did you hit it somewhere? Did you drop the phone?
But it's unresponsive to the touch screen.
That's weird.
All right.
How long have you had the phone for?
I don't know. Whatever. It's been a while, but I it's fairly new in the sense that it's a newer model, maybe a year and a half. Anyway, I thought the bot could help me. Julie, fix my iPhone, Julie.
Yeah, I'm going to send you right to the Apple store for that one.
All right. Coming up, Uncle Frank, we got Black Gritty We got Roddy down the shore. We got Rusty. We got Dane. We got the Alabama Slammer. All coming up next. Good job, Bot. You're doing a good. You did a lot of fun with you.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with you this week.
You know, we enjoyed it. Like, all the callers are great, and we had some fun stuff. So it was a lot of fun. Let's end on a strong note and talk to our friends and chop it up for another half hour. Don't forget, Devon's coming up at 2. And is DeConnor going to be there?
No, he's with Tom today.
Oh, with Tommy.
Yeah, Tom Alvord's back.
I forget. Oh, Tommy. Welcome back, Tommy. That's good. So Devon and Tommy coming up at the top of the hour. Keep it right here. Love those guys. Let's go. I guess my man's on the beach. I know it's happy hour. Every day's happy hour for Uncle Frank.
Happy Friday, squad. How's everybody?
What do you say, Uncle Frank? How was your week, buddy?
Put it this way. Ocean City used to be a dry town. We tore it up. We're actually going to come back because it's going to get mobbed. I mean, just an awesome time. You've seen some stuff I've sent. Hey, I've been zap free in OC. How about that? TV, the bot. All right. TV, bot man. Nice work, my man, this week.
Thank you.
How about that?
Now, this is funny. Could the Simmons Westbrook Masonry Corp rival Liberia Construction Group's masonry end? I don't know. Those guys are down at Bricklayers, telling you.
Dude, you as a construction man know all about building. I got to go. You listen, Uncle Frank is strong, but I got to go Simmons Westbrook if that happens.
Their margins would be a lot better than mine because they are. That is a great analogy. Everybody good? Everything's been good? I know Andrew's been down here all week, right?
Andrew came up. He came up, I think, Wednesday. So he's been back up home doing some work around the house.
And I'm looking actually for an update. I've been in and out of the show, and service has been spotty. So tell me the mindset. All right, first, two questions. The mindset of Harden's camp, and where do you think KD's going? I didn't hear the Ramona interview. So, if you wouldn't mind, just...
No, not at all. Ultimately, I would love it. Believe me, I would love if somehow they could land KD. And I think they're giving every effort, but, you know...
Is it feasible?
If you're asking me to put a number on it, you know, 20%.
Right.
You know, I can't...
Ramona, what did Ramona think?
Yeah, Ramona was less than optimistic at 20%. She's probably at 5%. I'll just tell you, from people I talk to close by, they all admit it's going to be hard. However, they said that they're going to do whatever they can. They're in on it. It's just, we'll see.
So the Beards decision, was pro Sixers?
Yeah, the reason why he doesn't opt in is because he wants to get Tucker. He gives them enough financial responsibility to get Tucker, right? Like that. Like, he wants to try to win a title. That's the one thing, right? So he really wants to win a title. So that's why he takes less. And
Tells me a lot. That makes me feel pretty damn good.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so the bench is good. I guess one piece away, eh?
Yes. Yes,
oh, man.
I like it. You enjoy the weekend. What's that, pal?
Have a good, happy, safe 4th, you and the bot.
Oh, thank you, brother. Oh, you're the best, Uncle Frank. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, man.
Take it easy. According to Legion Hoops, the Lakers are working aggressively on a deal for Kyrie. Their current offer is Westbrook, Horton Tucker, and their 2027 first round pick. Joe Harris could also be involved in the deal.
How about this one? You gave us one, I'll give you one. Woj tells us the Indiana Pacers are trading Malcolm Brogdon to, are you ready, Ant? The Boston Celtics.
Wow. Brogdon to the Celtics?
Yep. No return just yet. That's the first report we've got, though.
Wow. Damn. Brogdon to the Celtics.
Good team gets better.
Damn, man. That's scary, dude. That is frightening. Damn. Oof. Damn. By the way, the kid they got, Traveling Queen, the Sixers got?
Yeah.
He's kind of interesting because he did win the G League MVP. And he can shoot the ball a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'll tell you when I don't know people. I don't know nothing about this kid.
Yeah, he's one of these G Leaguers sensations. Look at this. So the Celtics are trading Tyce Nesmith and a 2023 first-round pick. That's it?
That is not a good trade for the Pacers.
Damn, man. I like Brogdon, man. I do. I've always liked Brogdon. Plays defense.
Give you a little bit of on both ends of the floor.
Yeah. He could be a one and a two. I like Brogdon a lot.
That's not a good trade for Indiana.
Tyce Nesmith and a 23 first round pick? Ah, wow. That's a good trade for Boston. No good, man. That's no good. Let's go to deep in these streets. The one, the only, Black Gritty.
What up, cuz? It's hot outside. I'm in the crib now. I ain't in these streets. I'm staying out the streets.
Let's go deep in his crib.
So it does like 5:30, 6 o'clock. So I'm going to start off sad. I'll bring my energy back up. But I'm just down right now, man. Like my MVP, you know, I was calling you. I was hyped up. My Phillies was rolling. My MVP went down. And I'm like, it shouldn't be built around one guy. But man alive, don't ever tell me we don't need Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper ain't the MVP. That's all I know. So
I know. I hear you. I hear you. I was just glad that, you know, it was good to see Castellanos get one yesterday. Oh,
and
look, the bats, the kid hits too. You know what I mean? So
I'm hoping they find their way to keep it afloat so he gets back. And then we might be able to have a little push going. So
exactly. That's where I'm at.
Part of the game.
Yeah.
As far as the Sixers are concerned, I've been on the roller coaster too many times. I'm not riding right now. I know you hear about Harden not taking the money. Great. I want to see Harden take shots in the second half of playoff games. I want Harden to show up in the playoffs. I don't care about off season. I don't care about a full season. All I care about is what I've seen this man do for his whole career in the playoffs. And so the moves we make, yes, I like them, but we need more. I mean, you pulling up reports right now. I don't know what the Hawks are doing, but they're trying to do something. Lord knows what the Celtics are doing. And I hate being the old man, but my goodness, these players have got to stop signing a four-year contract and wanting to leave 6 months later. She brought up Kobe Bryant. There's a different day and age now. Now dudes are going to sit out on you. And I'm all for the players, man. I'm a player guy. But right now, I'm like, come on, we got mad at LeBron for the decision, and these dudes out here flipping the dipping like this? Oh, cuz.
You know what? It's funny, though, like, because Chris called up earlier the same thing, and I'm like, it's interesting now. I don't have that. I mean, this is the protocol, right?
Yeah, I don't like it though. I don't like it. I mean, and again, it's just I'm starting to sound like an old man to myself. And I know that freedom reigns and all this kind of stuff, but I'm like, look, the league is going to come down. Owners aren't going to be standing for this. I'm not trying to give you $250 million, and the next week you turn around and tell me you leave it. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying, it's irking me. Hopefully things work out. I still got the Eagles in the back of my mind, and that is always positive right now because we got potential and growth and hope. But I also want to tell you, when your stuff breaks, your phone's messing up on your computer, I know it's been geek week. I've been listening. I ain't called, but you know your boy listening. You can always hit me on the back phone, brother. I got you on the tech support. And your boy hit that inside the park home run. My daughter hit one. I was so close to putting your audio over top of her audio. Cause I tagged you when it comes. Don't listen to it. I'm going to calm down.
Oh, I got to check that out. You know what? I can't access... I have a hard time accessing. I can't access the Instagram. Instagram. I can't. And I have it's such a pain in the ass because I can't hit. So last night I was trying to park, right? And I was trying to park. I met the guys uptown after Cousins Corner. We had a, you know, they had a scouting session in the city for this movie. So I try to meet the guys, and I'm trying to park, but I can't press the top of the phone to pay for the parking, the meter up parking.
Yeah.
And I'm just, it's driving me nuts. I'm going to roof it.
Hit your boy in the bathroom. I'll take care of it.
All right. I know you will. BG, you're the man, buddy.
Enjoy the holiday. Love you,
you bro. Too. Happy holiday, fourth, Black Gritty. Let's go to Roddy, down in Shore. Roddy.
Vinny, what's going on, my brother? How are we?
What's going on, Roddy?
Not too much, man. A little hungover right now.
Keith, I appreciate that. Where are you?
I'm in Wildwood right now, where our dreams nice. Come true.
Where'd you guys go last night? Or would you
we went to Keenan's, and oh god, like 15, 16 drinks later, here I am today calling you guys with obviously the best way for the Sixers to win next season.
Dude, I love a Keenan's night of 15, 16. That's a good night, brother.
My wife wasn't crazy about it, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And once in a while, Danny, sure, have a good time, let loose.
It's a holiday weekend, brother, right?
Yep. Amen.
Hear me out. Call it crazy. We got to go all in on Durant. And by all in, it may involve losing Embiid.
No, that's not happening.
I mean, does he even like Philly, though?
Who, Embiid?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
he loves Philadelphia.
Why wasn't he in Hustle? Like, he's not a true Philly. He's not one of us.
Yes, he is. You're crazy. Get out. You're nuts, Rod. Come on, Rod. You're still drunk.
What?
Where's he at? Did he go?
Yeah, I think he dropped.
Come on, Rod. You're still drunk. You got to go back to Keenan Bean. What are you talking about? You got to go back to it. Go back to Keenan. Maybe you find your brain.
He's going to need that second day clarity. Get a couple more.
Dude, come on, bro. You know. Hair of the dog, my man.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on, you're losing your marbles. Rusty. Hello, Rusty. How about Rusty's not there? How about the Dane? Prediction Dane.
Anthony, what's going on, man?
What's happening, Dane?
Weekend? Nothing much, man. Definitely not giving up Joel Embiid for Kevin Durant.
No, I mean, that's stupid.
I can part with Maxey, even though I love his grit and that he, you know, he's not afraid to take a shot. But in my gut, Anthony, and I've been real with you on what we've talked, my gut's telling me like a 5%, maybe 8% chance that happens.
Uh-huh.
I like the move with PJ Tucker, but I even talked to you about this like 3 years ago. I wanted PJ Tucker like two years.
Yeah.
Because he would have been solidified the bench. You don't have to use Mars.
Yeah.
You don't have to use Shake. And it gives you a little bit of dog in your bench that can make score in key moments.
Agreed.
I think they are definitely, I'm not going to lie, you know, he is on the team now and he's signed, so I like the move because it takes the ball out of Shake. It takes the ball out of Korkmaz's hands. And you, Anthony, we can't do another, I mean, we're on that roller coaster of second round knockout, man. It's time to progress the book. It's time to move to the next chapter. I heard the commissioner draft night say something in the beginning of the draft, man, and he was like, the current champion Golden State built their roster out of drafting three supremely talented young men, and they built it the right way. I'm not waving no Golden State pom-poms. I'm not screaming, yo, go Steph.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want in Philadelphia is that mentality of you draft, you build, you grow, and you win a championship. And I feel like we just keep coming up short every step of the way. But
let me ask you, because I disagree with that notion. I think there's a multitude of ways to win a title. There's no way. Look, it's not like they didn't try drafting their way to a title.
No,
but like the reason why you went into the process was to land players, right? And look who they drafted: Okafor, right? Fultz. It's not like they didn't try to draft. Now you're in. You lucked out and you got Embiid. And the point now is you got to whatever you can do, Dame, to surround him.
Well, I agree with that, and I know that's what they're trying to do. One more point, Anthony.
Yeah.
Think about this. A year ago, Simmons didn't want the spotlight on him. I'm not even going to call him Simmons. I'm going to call him 25.
Uh-huh.
And now, fast forward a whole year later, the spotlight is directly back on him. Is he ready for that moment? Because he's still not going to shoot. But, Anthony, have a great weekend, man.
You too, buddy. Take it easy. No, is he ready for what moment? I can't. Seriously. How do you take that at face value?
What else is he supposed to do?
I mean, ready for the moment. I mean, what's the moment? The moment's going to be you're on the bad team. Now, will he play? My guess is he'll come to play and do what he can and whatever. I think what really kind of freaked him was all the expectations. He talked about the expectations, that they were burdensome, those expectations. Right? If he's on a bad team, I guess is there's no pressure. So he plays. I assume, or that, or he retires.
You would think so. I mean, if you can't play with no pressure, what are we doing here?
Exactly. Let's go to Tommy in Alabama. Tommy!
Yo, cuz.
What is it, Alabama Slammer?
How you doing, my man?
Good, buddy.
Hey, man, listen, the last thing I want to do is come on here and be negative. Man, I want to win championships more than anybody, believe me. But it's been 30 hours before I voiced my opinion, and this is the first time. But everybody's talking about James Harden is going to take less. No, he's not. By the time they add the years on, and why? All I can tell you is I can't tell you the future, but I can damn sure tell you the past. And this cat has not bought in. Him, Durant, Irving, Ben Simmons. These guys have run the league, man. Dictating a league like this, it's a joke.
I don't know. I mean, I think I don't look at it the way you do, but you know, you can. I mean, first of all, I'll disagree with you with Harden. Harden, it will take less. He could opt in for 47 over 2 years. He's probably going to get 3 years, 85. So he's going to get less, whatever that matters, because it's all, you know, bleep you money anyway. But I mean, I don't know. I find free agency interesting. So, you know.
Well, hey, I'm all about it. I mean, it seems like Daryl Morey is doing his job. Obviously, he's trying to do everything. But man, everybody's saying about James Harden is going to change his spots all of a sudden. He needs to check his ass is what he needs to do instead of raising hell out every night drinking like a fish. He needs to get it together before he shows me anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that, listen, you got to take care of yourself. You got to come in and, you know, I don't know the dude, right? Like, you know, I hear little stories and everything else, but I don't know the dude. I don't know what the guy does. I mean, I don't know what kind of work. I hear that he's a hard worker. So what do I know? I mean, I don't hang with the guy, right? So I'm not making it rain with him at strip clubs every night. So I don't know the deal. If you ask me, yeah, does he need to take care of himself now he's in his 30s? Without a doubt. I don't think it's a change. Thanks, Tommy. I don't think it's a change of spots type of situation. I think he is what he is. I think he was a prolific scorer, a great player in the league, and let's see what he's got left. Now, I'll take it as face value that he's being amenable to the Sixers so they can do certain things because he wants to win. So I'll take that at face value. I agree that he needs to come in and be able to play. I don't know the dude's habits. I always feel uncomfortable when you know, people talk about what a guy's doing. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I'm not with the guy 24/7.
Well, and quite frankly, too, off the field, off the court, off the ice, whatever it is, as long as it's not destructive to themselves or others, it's none of my business what somebody does, you know, whatever they enjoy doing. You know, like I said, as long as it's not destructive to somebody else or themselves, you know, who am I to care if you know, Harden likes to go to the gentlemen's clubs versus, you know, Ben Simmons playing video games. You know what I mean? It's, right, it's their personal right. time. Nobody cares what, you know, I do outside of work. Right? You know what I mean? Like, again, as long as we're not being destructive, if I go get a beer today or if I go to take a nap or if I go to the gym or I go to the whatever, nobody cares.
What? Yeah, and you know, the whole, like, yeah, I don't know what he does and he changes his spot. Well, I don't know. And by the way, from what everybody told me, the guy works hard.
Right.
So he practices hard. You know, I don't care. I don't care at all. As long as he's playing. And I don't know the whole deal. And again, it always makes me uncomfortable with, you know, that kind of mentality. You know, the Tom coming in and rah, 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 like the sports radio. Rah, rah, rah. I don't know, dude. Like, trust me. I always like to just keep it real. You know what I mean? And by the way, I don't care what a guy does, short of, you know, criminal behavior. And you do whatever you want to do. As long as you go in, you come in, you play hard, you know. As long as you don't pass up shots, right? Yeah, make a couple step backs, be the big off the switch, off the dribble, beat your man. We cool, man. Go enjoy yourself. Oh, that's funny. Well, Bot, it is a it was a fun week.
Yes, I had a good time. Thank you.
I got one more guy on the way out. You ready?
Yeah, we got to go, but yes, I'll try to do it quickly.
All right. We got to go. Never mind. Yeah. We'll do it another time. Stay tuned. Damn. Stay tuned. My man, Devon Givens, coming up next with Tommy. Everybody, listen, we love you. Have a great time this weekend. Be careful. Watch yourself. Have a great time, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.